Chicago Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
What's up?
Morning.
I took my microphone off. I got my headphones today. Hot enough for you?
Oh, everything's melted. That's melted.
You, Lisa, hot enough for you?
Yep, hot enough.
Yeah. It's hot enough for everybody? Mm. All right, how's traffic?
Well, Sigler's been canceled on the 14th.
Now, back to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Nonstop for the next 40 minutes.
On 95.5 KLOS.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show Monday, broadcasting live from the Morongo Casino Studios in Los Angeles. You can always call the show, 1-800-955-KLOS is the number. And you can text the show if you can't get through on the phone, text FHF, then your question or comment to 68683. Yeah, it's a hot one this weekend. How'd you stay cool?
Well, my house has zoned cooling.
What's that mean?
Which means there's different ACs in different parts of it.
So you had a thunderstorm in the living room?
Sort of. This is the house I'm renting. It's not my house. Anyway, so what I found is, on heat waves like this, the bedrooms are frozen. I mean, they're like a walk-in freezer for Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah.
But the other half of the house is hot like Venus, and never the two can mix.
Oh, so you are really, like, traveling.
Yes.
You
know? I could go from one extreme to the other just by walking through a doorway. I couldn't get my whole house good. And it was like hot here, cold there, hot there. Fans everywhere blowing stuff around. Barely survived.
Well, my electricity went out yesterday.
Nice.
Oh, no.
That was fun. But thank God I married a lesbian, and we have a generator.
This is the first time you guys used a generator?
No, it's like third time, because we've had four power outages in Encino within this past year.
I think your lesbian lover might be cutting the lines if she can use her generator to justify the expenditure.
$1,700. She goes, $1,700. See? What I tell you? You didn't even want to get it. We got it.
$1,700. My God, she got the big one.
Oh, we got a big
Honda. She can light up the whole block.
Big Honda. That's what she was calling neighbors. She goes, if we need to plug anything in, phones or whatever, come on down.
And it runs on ground up Delta Smelt and Spotted Owl.
She felt very, like, good yesterday.
See, with the loud house, the house with
That's what sucks, Frosty, is that it's like parking your Harley Davidson outside of your front door. Or just a motorcycle.
You put it in the front yard? So you guys could brag to your neighbors that you're the only ones who had air conditioning. Ha ha.
We didn't want to. No one would see it, but it's.
Everyone hears it.
And then we have to, because she doesn't. My wife doesn't want it to get stolen, so we chain it to the front door. It's
classy.
Disgusting. I'm like, we look like a trailer park. These big, beautiful wood doors, and it's like. Whoa, 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 all like.
If nobody can see it, then why is she chaining it?
She thinks somebody might get.
People can hear
the fence
it.
And get it. I know.
Throw the generator over the fence. Who's
Frank,
doing that?
It's like you or me yesterday. I'm going, we don't need to chain it to the door. It's fine. No one's going to take it.
I would think someone's mowing the lawn. If I was walking by and I couldn't see in, I was like, okay, someone's cutting grass there. Someone's home.
Yeah, they have a different sound.
We
there was a house near me that had one.
Yeah.
And it's this show-off sound. Says, ha-ha,
well,
we have power, you don't.
On this big Honda generator, there's a button that's like, eco-friendly or something. So when you don't have that on, it's really loud, and then you click the switch and it takes it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So we put that on so it wasn't so loud. But yeah, it kept the refrigerators.
It muffles the sound, this button?
Yeah, it's like a little bit. Not crazy. But
I didn't know generators had like medium and high.
It's like eco.
Yeah, we have one too.
Eco.
Hmm.
Yeah. That you have like an eco button. It's a lot like
that. Oh, like that.
It's a lot like that.
It's more powerful.
Turn off the... Ruin the environment when you turn it back on.
It's more pleasant for people around with an earshot.
Or someone with Steeler.
Yeah, no, throw me over the fence.
Top the fence, Steeler.
Yeah, no, I don't even need to chain me down. No one's taking me. What the hell?
Did you have a gaggle of friends who just happened to show up when your generator was on? Oh, hi, I've been meaning to come over.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
can I come in?
No one took us up on it. We had sent texts out to the neighborhood because I guess it was out from like... 1 p.m. yesterday until I'm not sure when it came back on because I ended up going to bed.
What was the temperature at your house? Did you have? I'm sure she has a thermostat outside that she can look, see through the kitchen window.
Yeah, it was 108.
108 at your house.
Yeah.
I think it was 110 at mine.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
111 at the Arroyo Seco
Ooh,
weekend at the Rose Bowl.
That.
Eric went and melted.
It was a blast, though. It was an absolute blast. But I need to discuss something, a little bit of festival etiquette. If I bring my blanket and I lay it down, I get there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon because I want a good spot. That is my stake of land. Do not walk on my blanket. People were continually just boop, 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 boop.
Maybe you put your blanket down in the path. Since you got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, the thing is that it filled up. I mean, it was a sea of people.
So there is no path. It's like walk anywhere and they would step on your blanket.
Exactly.
That is so rude.
And I brought chairs, so I started guarding. I started creating walls around my little blanket area so nobody would walk in my damn blanket, which is bright white, and now it's just completely ruined because of these a-holes.
Why would you take a bright white blanket to a festival?
How big was the blanket, actually?
It was kind of big. It was bigger than anybody else's.
There you go, like a 10 by 10 tarp.
It was probably 8 by
like a queen size comforter.
6 by 8.
Yeah. And it's you, your wife, and your 2-year-old.
So correct.
You guys could probably be in 1/4 of that entire blanket.
Oh, yeah. Well, we put the chairs behind it, too. So the chairs weren't even on the blanket.
That's why you need to make your little blanket area undesirable. Put up signs that goes, people who walk through here love boy bands.
Yeah.
It was a really great time, though. This kid, Andy Grammer, who played on the Oak stage, is a former Santa Monica 3rd Street Promenade performer, and he kicked total ass.
Oh, so he's made it. You were out there with him.
Mm-hmm. It's like alumni.
Yep. You're bad grammar.
Yep, we were out there at the exact same time.
Did you go say hello?
Or didn't? No.
No?
No,
he didn't do the... Do you remember...
He was busy, you know, with his 5-piece band and his horn section.
Mm, horn section. Wow, he's really made it.
Wowing the crowd. And I was there on my big blanket.
Did you have? You don't have a suntan or a sunburn, so did you have a massive umbrella or something? You couldn't have been in the sun.
No, because they don't allow metal things in there. Nothing metal is allowed to go through the metal detector.
And you can't have umbrellas because people are trying to sit down on the ground behind you and they can't see the stage.
Oh, so
that was blocking the view.
They
and Eric.
Sold parasols.
No protest signs.
Parasols were available for purchase. So all these a-holes were walking around twirling their parasols right in front of where you're trying to look. And I'm a short guy. So I was getting very annoyed.
Sounds like a blast.
It was very fun once you learn to just let go.
Umbrellas or parasols? There is a difference.
Yeah, they were parasols.
Really?
Frank.
Parasols have they're like folded, like accordion look, and usually pretty.
Exactly.
They're very feminine.
They're very feminine.
Yeah, they got like ruffles and stuff on them, right?
Yep.
Wow.
So did you buy one?
I didn't buy one, no. It was so much fun, though. It really was.
Even with the heat?
Yeah, nobody minded. Nobody minded.
111?
Yeah, 111 when we parked.
When you have it, how do you keep your cool, your 2-year-old cool? When you don't, you worry about heat stroke with
a baby? Don't let her in the car. With the dog.
I will say it was one of the best organized festivals I've ever been to. They had water refilling stations, so nobody got dehydrated. They had tents set up in case anybody was overheated. It was great.
Why did you take your little kid?
Because she loves music.
I know, but think of the germs. If I had a little bit, 18 months old, something like that?
Yeah.
Let me expose my child to 10,000 people breathing out germs, and drunks that might fall over on him, and drug addicts might come up and stick a needle in its arm, and
you know,
people might sneeze
like
in it. And
Mother Stillwell.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's that Mumford & Son crowd known for heroin and dirty needles.
There was a distinct smell in the air, though. A festival smell.
Well, yeah, of course.
If you know what I mean.
Is this the first time your baby was high?
There was
secondhand residual.
I saw smoke enter my little area, and I looked around, and nobody had a cigarette, and it was right in my daughter's face.
Did you partake? Anybody the festival etiquette just pass you?
No joints being passed around
willy
nilly. No,
wasn't like the reggae fest for me at the Hollywood Bowl. I got super high for like 5 minutes,
and then ate yourself sober.
I had the cold sweats. I'm like, I'm so high right now.
For 5 minutes. What did you do?
I don't know. I just smoked this joint that was handed to me.
That
and I was
didn't
like,
sound like
I was really pulling it too, and I have no idea who this guy is. But he had like tattoos on his neck. I probably shouldn't have smoked it.
Have you seen your body? You're what? You're judging a guy with neck tattoos? You have a shark and a bear and a snake.
But that's on an arm. A neck tattoo's way different. I mean, he's going above and beyond. I mean, I saw a guy at a Habit Burger once, and behind him in line, and he had a tattoo, but he had a tank top on.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see, you know, his shoulders and part of his back, chest, full arms. I could see them all. He didn't have any tattoos anywhere but on his neck. I'm like, who chooses their first tattoo and puts it on their neck?
That's weird.
Bought him his Habit Burger.
Yep.
So if this place goes, if it goes down here, he's on my side.
Hmm.
I want that guy on my side.
Neck tattoos. Maybe
skin grafting. We all know it's going to go down at Habit Burger if it goes down.
Could be skin grafting. Maybe an injury. He had to take part of his skin from his arm to put up
on
his neck.
This is his forearm tattoo that he put on his neck. Yeah, that's an odd choice for a first tattoo.
Where do you go from there?
I shouldn't have smoked that.
No.
What, after that?
Yeah, yeah, neck, neck till just the last place you go, eye is neck,
you ink
eye face,
the whites
and,
of your eyes.
Yeah. Or about the people that are doing that? Inside of the lower lip, people are doing
what
that.
What is the point of that? It has to hurt like crazy. And who's going to see it other than your teeth?
I guess you just know that, you know, it says...
I think it's more of a club thing.
Live or love.
What does it say, lip?
I don't... Teeth curtain.
Ooh, teeth curtains. I wonder if that's what they're originally called, lips.
Why don't you put
like, let's
bring,
stop. Let's call
them
lips.
Teeth curtains right on over here. Let's part them teeth curtains.
That's what they say now at the Olin Mills. All right.
All right.
Everybody part your teeth curtains. Click.
All I have is Venetian blinds.
Is Olin Mills out of business? I mean, Olin Mills was the place where your family would go to get their family portraits taken. Are there family portrait places? Or phones are so great now.
Photo places are gone now.
My lady had to get a new phone over the weekend, and she was taking pictures. And it's weird. Her phone makes everybody look good. I don't know if it naturally puts a filter on it for you, but it's weird. Like, she couldn't take a bad picture of anybody. I mean, ugly people. She goes, watch this. She's taking a picture of somebody ugly, and they look good.
I'm going to need to know what.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get you one for Christmas. I was actually going to get you two and glue them together.
Panoramic.
Is it, like, soft focus?
No.
Slimming a little bit?
I don't know if it's some weird, subtle thing they don't let you know, so people will tell people what I'm saying, and then they'll go out and buy that phone.
I need it. Now,
remember when we got in town, what, 20, 25 years ago, whenever that was, and all the struggling, starving young actors and actresses would always have to go to these photo places to get their photos
headshots.
Done. Headshots. And they're really expensive.
Ray the Retoucher.
And they stuck it to you.
I saw him quite a bit.
I remember Ray the Retoucher.
Right? You get the pictures taken, they don't do anything with them because it's like on film. So like, what? And you're like, whoa, these.
Well,
you gotta take
some...
ones you pick to Ray the Retoucher.
Yeah. Great name for a photo guy. Bad name for an ice cream man.
So really, both those people are gone now. Those occupations have gone away. Ice cream man gone.
How's he getting
photo retoucher's gone.
I bet the ice cream man had a hell of a weekend just going out and selling ice cream.
We couldn't go more than walk or two. Everything melted.
No, in his truck. He's not selling them dry out of his hands.
The guys I've seen lately have the little push cooler.
But they're coolers, at least. I think those things will stay cool for a while. What's the point? I might just put it in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to open up and the kids can shop. Let me open it. Well, let me look around in here. It's melting, kid. What do you want?
Make a decision.
Yeah, you said that ice cream will cool you down last week. So I'm sure the ice cream men were out and about this week playing their jingles. Getting everybody to run outside in the hot sun. It was so hot in Arizona, they say that there's cactus melting.
How is it possible?
What now?
Yeah, in Scottsdale, Arizona, someone tweeted a photo of a cactus melting. It's just kind of like bending over.
Oh.
It was so hot that this cactus
like wilting
was,
almost.
Yeah, wilting in the sun. It was just drooping, sort of. I have the picture of it. Look it up, Johnny.
It was very sad.
Right.
119 degrees.
But you'd think a cactus is like
Arizona.
119. Please. Well, she got. Like, cactus are.
They got
desert.
Their limit,
They're
Heidi.
I know, but 119 doesn't even sound like that much for a cactus.
I saw this photo spread. I didn't see the bending cactus, but there are other people sitting things. A lot of people have plastic fences around their house, and those are melting. So these, you know, expensive fence panels put in there, they're all melted and dripping. There's one photo I saw.
The vinyl?
Yeah, they're like vinyl
fencing.
They get hot and melt.
They just drip like wax.
Yeah, right.
And I saw one photo of someone's blue recycling container with the wheelie bin thing melted like crazy. Looked
now,
like
once you
fire.
Pick that up, where do I put this?
I don't know.
But when your recycled trash can melts, what can do you put it in?
Trash?
Or
do I call them and say I need another recycling bin so I can put my recycling bin in?
When you don't know, just put it in the neighbor's. Doesn't matter. Just stuff it over next door.
And you don't have to organize stuff when it's your neighbor's.
Right.
Who cares?
You just put your, just recycle. Who cares? Their neighbor, their cans don't count.
Do you ever get mad? You go out there to put something in last minute and there's something on top that's not yours?
Oh.
Wait a minute. I wasn't at Burger King.
Happens all the time.
Violation. How dare you?
Well, you're pissed off that someone didn't litter and that they decided to put their Burger King bag in your trash can? Thanks.
And now he can't put his thing in because it's to the tippy top.
Yeah, it's like they should have asked, excuse me.
What did you have so big that you forgot?
Oh, usually it's my big full 15-gallon trash can in the kitchen.
Yeah, the kitchen. Like, I'm waiting
oh,
the
no.
Last.
It's full. I got to put now I can't put it because someone else used mine for their whatever.
Then you got to walk down the street and try to find somebody who doesn't have a lot of trash. You're like, yeah.
It's like the overhead bins of airplane. Everyone is using everyone else's space.
And you find a little old lady.
Down at the end of the block. Those things at all.
Use her can.
They studied this. If you've been in a bad mood, if you found yourself moody and less helpful the last week, it's because of the heat. They actually studied this, and they found that you actually your mood changes to the negative. You just won't help people. You're less helpful.
And I had hot sauce this weekend too. We had grilling out, had some friends over, and found this hot sauce that I had in the fridge for a while. I think we had it sent here from somebody who's called S the Bed.
Oh, that's the one that's a million times stronger than it's like scorpion.
Yeah,
what?
Frank.
And I didn't read it, but somebody had looking through the fridge for some hot sauce to put on their tacos. It's like, what's this stuff? S the Bed. And I was like, oh, yeah, we've had that. And it looked like we had been eating it. Like the neck was gone in the bottle. So it's like some had been consumed. It was obviously it's edible. If more than a two drops have been consumed. So I grabbed the S the Bed and I go, squirt, 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 squirt on one taco. Okay.
Oh, Frank.
And you remember how hot this stuff is, right?
One little drop, you felt like you couldn't breathe.
And I'm like, just eating it like a normal taco, not even being, just tippy-toeing into it.
You committed to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And I was like, my gums started burning on fire. So I run to the sink, and I turn the sink on, and I put my mouth right under it, and it's on the instant hot. So I'm pouring boiling water on my gums that are already on fire from this Estebed hot sauce.
Oddly, was it cooler in a weird
actually,
way?
It was. Actually, it did help.
That's refreshing.
You'd never think. But yeah, I'll never do that again. I mean, I was in pain.
And I heard cold water doesn't even help.
It doesn't help.
You have to get like a milky product, like a
opened
milk
up the
or
fridge,
a sour
there was no
cream.
Milk. Yeah, the dairy is gone for some reason out of my house.
That's why you always need ice cream for emergencies.
Oh, ice cream, yeah. So anything with dairy will help that a little bit.
But no, man.
Oh, Frank.
So pretty much the taste of the taco was ruined.
I didn't even taste it.
See? Yeah.
No.
Too much heat. There's no flavor left.
But I don't think I need to go to the dentist now. I think anything that was living in my gums, it's dead.
Yeah, no gingivitis.
Oh, no. Hell no.
Your teeth are whiter. Look.
Oh, look at that.
You burned
it's
off
totally
all the...
It's totally white. All the stuff
has
is
no,
plaque.
No dent left.
Tartar. Yeah.
Tartar's all gone.
Dentin, enamel. It's gone.
Amazing.
Actually, it has no gums. Those are all roots. Those are...
this is just bare jawbone. It's very white when you clean it off.
How do I ask this? I know it's radio. We must be reasonably clean because of the children listening.
You got this.
But were you not able to pleasure the missus in a certain way for a while? Because that might be very hot as well. In secondary, pass it on.
Well, I didn't need something dairy, so I...
Yeah, I'm super sensitive to that. I burned the roof of my mouth. I had two blisters with same situation, some sort of taco. Then I think it had a thing called a ghost pepper. Is it a ghost? Is that a thing?
That's a hot one too. Yeah.
And I didn't notice it at the time. It was hot, but I didn't notice it. And then the next day, I put my tongue over the roof of my mouth. I'm like freaking out. Oh my god, why is that?
Your skin's gone.
They were there. They were two giant blisters on the roof of my mouth, back to back. Like, and so then I pressed.
Maybe you have herpes.
No, I pressed. No, it was after these ghosts.
Taco herpes.
And I pressed really hard.
You popped your mouth.
Oh, you popped them both. Oh, God.
I had to. It was hurting me.
You have to.
Well, that's how you get rid of them. So I just did, and you could feel like that little snap. And then I just spit it out.
You had your mouth filled with pus?
Yeah, what it tastes like. I'm
That'll look funny in the transcript.
Oh, that will.
Old pussy mouth.
Parting my teeth curtains and mouthful of pus. Oh, it was horrible.
Oh my god!
That's why I can't do that real hot stuff anymore.
Why do you make those things? They should weed those out. They should like have some.
Some
scientists.
People love it, I guess. I mean, like
no one loves it. It's just become more of a challenge for people.
Yeah, but it ruins the taste of the food. The food, forget it, you could be eating a piece of two before.
Right.
Because you can't taste the food anymore when your tongue's burned.
Yeah, because once you burn your tongue on regular, like, actual temperature hot food, you can't taste that.
I think this was Friday night, too, when I ate that hot sauce, and I haven't gone to the bathroom because I've been afraid to. So I've been holding it.
You've been to the bathroom since Friday night?
I'm gone.
Mike, on the way out, it's going to burn again.
But I don't have the urge to. I think the
everything died inside of
me. Everything inside me. It's still like it's living off everything I eat.
Your colon too. Your colon might be like, I can't. We got can't function.
Yeah, it's killed the sensation to go poo. I'm just getting filled up like that Chinese dude.
Oh no.
Who didn't have the sensation ever to go poo
for like years?
And he was constipated. Right. And he got a 32-pound turd.
You're that guy, right?
Oh, imagine that relief though.
Actually, you were overdue to get your. Colon checked. What is it called? Colostomy. This is doing it for you. It's just burning everything out.
Yeah. All the polyps are gone.
Flushed away.
Would you rather do a thimble full of the ghost peppers or whatever
the
scorpion peppers where we had Estebed or get a finger up the butt?
Oh, finger up the butt.
Well, the finger in the butt's on and gone, right? The other one that's going to give mouth and tongue blisters for 3 days.
Yeah, the finger, I've not had that for colonoscopy. I've had that for my regular gyno appointment. Oh. No, never for pleasure. I've never tried that. But they don't linger, do they?
No.
So it's quick.
Oh, look, Anthony over the weekend brought us some of that snortable chocolate I talked about last week with the Get the Fake Out.
Oh, you really?
Were you here?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were here on Friday. Well, Friday you weren't here. And I didn't know what day we did it. But yeah. Snortable chocolate.
It's like a little snuff box.
It's called Coco Loco. So I don't know if it's going to...
You first, Frank. You've had more things up your nose. Your nostrils are used to powders.
Anybody got like a credit card or something?
I got a little spoon.
Anthony, is this... not that it'll stop Frank, but is it FDA approved and all that stuff?
I mean, yeah, where'd you get this stuff?
Why is
it was on Amazon. I don't know if it's FDA approved, but it's supposed to be a snuff replacement. So people who actually use chewing tobacco, the finely cut... Put it up their nose.
Wait a second. What?
He's going to snort it. He's making lines of chocolate.
Snortable chocolate.
No, I know that. I always thought chewing tobacco was chewing tobacco. I didn't know you took tobacco and snorted tobacco.
The very fine powdery snuff is what you go, you snort right up your nose.
So, I got it on Amazon. Doesn't really say it's safe to snort. Do you know where it's made or what it's made of?
The writing's too small. I can't read it.
Is it give me Chinese?
This, please. Give me
this
the damn
Coco
thing.
Coco Loco.
Look at Frank making lines with chocolate over there. I thought I'd never see this.
What is happening?
Lines of chocolate powder on the counter.
Seriously, tame your erection.
What?
Frosty won't do cocaine, but he's over here going, oh my God, he's jonesing. He's like Robert Downey Jr. in less than zero. He'd beige me for this line right
now. Stop it. You know what? I might... No, I'm not going to do it. I can't. I'm scared of it.
Me too.
I don't have any money. All I have is a receipt to Home Depot.
I'm picturing Nestle Quick, that gets all gooey when you add liquid to it.
I got a little...
It might turn to syrup in your nostrils and lungs. I'm not sure that's good, Frank.
No, I really feel like I have a problem with this. I'm rolling a dollar.
Is there not a straw?
You know you have a problem when you're rolling a dollar.
And Frank, that's an Arroyo Seco dollar, too.
Ooh, it's been sitting in your pants for a while.
Where's that hundy?
So you get Eric's pants sweat... mystery chocolate powder from God knows where on an unwashed counter.
It's like chocolate pretzel salt. Here we go.
Oh, God.
He actually snorted it. He did a line of chocolate.
Oh, man. That ain't bad.
Your eyes are...
No, stop it!
You're a little watery there, Frank.
You're insane.
Oh, I got to balance out the other one. Am I crying chocolate tears?
Yeah.
It's up because I can feel it behind my eye.
You're crying the way we always think Frosty did.
Yeah, you're moving into my territory now.
I have one brown eye now from the chocolate.
And that's supposed to, what, give you like
did
a...
You,
like, make
did
your
you,
heart
you get a close-up on that, Johnny?
Did you get any chocolate flavor out of it?
Yeah, I kind of do. The nasal drip is quite Hershey. It's not too bad, Frosty. Do a snort.
No, I'm not snorting. I might lick it, but I'm not going to snort it. I can't. I don't snort stuff.
You're like
stuff.
One of those cops that comes around.
Yeah, I got to test it.
Yeah.
Let me see that.
Definitely busted now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Where'd you get this?
You're crazy.
That was quite a line, too.
I don't think
you're supposed to do that much. But I'm feeling it. Is it sugar high? Pat out!
Woo! And you really, really, really are supposed to snort it. It does go in the nostrils.
Last week on Get the Fake Out, snortable chocolate is now a thing, and then Anthony over the weekend got some.
So then the chocolate goes in the bloodstream quickly?
I guess I'm absorbing the
Is that where
goodness.
Chocolate's supposed to be? I get the stomach lining, and but in the blood supply?
I mean, it would you got chocolate in your blood. You taste it, because otherwise what's the point of it being chocolate if you don't.
I have the sensation of chocolate.
For the rest of your life, probably. To your lungs. Your lungs are covered
with chocolate. Everything I smell is chocolate right now. Every breath is like a chocolate breeze.
You don't have to vacation in Hershey, Pennsylvania now. Just have a staycation and breathe in.
Just stay here.
Was it like a malty chocolate or a dark chocolate or a milk chocolate or white chocolate? It's chocolate spell.
Chocolate boogers. Literally booger sugar.
more dark.
Okay.
More
okay.
Dark. All right. Chocolatey.
It's not super sweet.
Little, yeah. Cacao. Cocaine.
It's probably cocaine.
Even Clapton would not have thought about that.
I hope it is.
It's chocolate cocaine. God.
I really hope
Chocaine.
It is.
Chocaine. Chocaine. You got some chocaine.
Oh, my God.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. Grab a piece of paper real quick. Do you guys have a paper scratch piece you can write on?
Here we go. Okay.
You got a pen? Anybody got a pen?
Yep.
Okay, you're playing at home, scratch piece of paper. Or if you're driving, you got the center console there, just use your finger on the center console, okay?
Okay.
You'll be able to remember what you did, even though you didn't write it down, actually. Okay, ready?
We're writing it down. Okay.
Ready? Put pen to paper.
Yes.
Finger to console. Here you go. Draw a circle. Don't think about it. Just draw a circle.
How'd you know I was going to ask questions?
You always do. All right. So here's the only question you need to know. Did you draw the circle clockwise or counterclockwise?
I did counter.
Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise. Counterclockwise. Eric, what'd you do?
Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise. Lisa May, counterclockwise. Everybody in the room, counterclockwise. Nobody clockwise? Wow, look at that. Well, the new study analyzed 119,000 drawings of circles. God, how do you get out of bed in the morning to go to that job?
You know, there's
a
necessary research
institute.
Time to analyze
the circles.
Can I donate to this worthy institute?
Donate to the Draw Circle Fund.
Dollars well spent.
Yeah, and circles not just from here, but from around the world. And they found that 86% of Americans draw the circles counterclockwise. So you guys are in the majority. They do so pretty much all the other English speaking countries also. 86% doing the counterclockwise circle. The two countries where the majority of people draw circles clockwise was Taiwan and Japan, and they think it could be because people with who write Chinese and Japanese characters are right to left.
Right.
If you're going right to left, wouldn't you draw it counterclockwise?
You think.
Yes, that is right to left.
That's right. Yep. Well, that's weird.
As opposed to left to right.
Yeah. You know, what's weird is I just drew one right to left. It seemed just as natural, but it's not the one I chose spontaneously. So it's not like it's difficult to draw it right to left.
It's not, but it's not as comfortable for me.
Really?
No, mine's messier. Like, the one that I wrote left to right is a little neater, I guess.
Well, that was fun.
Well, it was.
Yeah. These scientists have it figured out how to have a good time.
Yeah.
Why are they studying
fun
this?
Fun with circles. I don't know.
Can we do triangles next?
Diseases and water salinization problems
by the
and overpopulation.
By the way, yeah, cancer,
studying this.
Cancer's still out there.
All right. Draw. Put your pen to paper.
Again.
Okay. Yes,
again. Ready? Finger to console.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Draw a triangle. All right. Did you draw three separate lines lifting the pen each time, or did you draw... How many times did you lift the pen? Sometimes maybe you didn't lift the pen at all. It's three sides.
Lifted it once. You did like the L and then the...
You lifted it once.
I lifted it...
Every single time. I watched Heidi. How many times did you lift the pen, Lisa?
I lifted it once.
Lifted it once. Eric?
Never.
You stayed on the paper the whole time? Stayed on the paper the whole time. See, maybe they should study triangles. Way more interesting and way more results.
Right, uh-huh.
And also, for those of you who drew them, are you anal like me? Did you go back and technically, I guess it is, because I fixed a little in there. I drew in the little part where I missed.
Could match your ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was fun.
So, okay.
That hasn't been studied yet. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, well,
the triangle study.
If anybody's giving out triangle money, we're available.
Like you've never given triangle money. You've donated.
Okay, I've got one.
Everybody
for
draw
you.
A kayak.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
Everybody wants to draw something?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Spontaneous, all of you. Fingers and consoles, pins and papers.
Okay.
Remember that circle Frank had you draw?
Yeah.
Draw two circles. Doesn't matter if you go right to left or left to right. Just two circles. Please. Heidi, hurry up, for God's sakes. Okay, Show me your circles. Look. Heidi's and mine overlap. Frank's are far apart. Eric's are side by side. Patrick's are pretty much side by side. What's Lisa?
Overlap.
What does overlap mean?
You're more feminine.
I think
the women drew them overlapping. Like the men rings, drew them apart. Together. Like a set of balls over here. You drew your vaginas. You really did. Well, the things you learn on this show. Like,
science.
Like, what's traffic like, Lisa?
Traffic Report is brought to you by That's Traffic. Wing Tuesdays are back at Buffalo Wild Wings now. Now every Tuesday, you can buy a snack or small tradition wings and get one free, hand-spun in one of our 21 signature saucer seasonings. Bring a friend or don't. Totally up to you. Restrictions apply. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I'm Lisa May on 95.5 KLOS.
Lisa May's going to make her way in here and give us some more news of the day. In the meantime, if you celebrate your birthday today on Monday, June 26th, you celebrate with Ariana Grande. She turned 24 years old today. iCarly's Jeanette McCurdy, she turns 25. She's on a Netflix series called Between. Are you familiar with it at all?
No.
You might want to watch it. It's about a town that's quarantined because there's a mysterious disease killing everyone over the age of 21. She plays a teenager, so she's cool for now.
Teen Town.
Teen Town.
Teen Town, under the dome. I don't know.
Aubrey Plaza. Deadpan actress who played April on Parks and Rec. She's 33 today. Michael Vick, Heidi's favorite guy, is 37. That's like 252 years in tortured dog years. Derek Jeter's 43. Gretchen Wilson, 44.
So here's to all my sisters out there keeping it country. Let me get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me.
And Chris O'Donnell is 47 years old today. All right, Lisa, what's going on in the world?
At the end of Ramadan, there is a celebratory meal that Muslims have that ends the month-long fast, and it can last up to 3 days. This is what it's called. Let's see.
All right.
Ramadan?
Nope.
It's the end of Ramadan.
Ramen noodle dam.
It's called Eid al-Fitr.
Nice trill.
I was going to play for you, but anyway. So the beginning of Eid al-Fitr was Saturday night, and every year since 1996, the White House has hosted a Ramadan dinner. Not this year.
They didn't.
Oh, come on.
No. President Trump decided to skip the dinner. Now, some people think it's because he got a lot of criticism from Muslims for a statement released at the beginning of Ramadan, which said, and I'm paraphrasing, this year as the holiday begins, the world mourns the innocent victims of barbaric attacks in the United Kingdom and Egypt directly contrary to the spirit of Ramadan. And they're like, just say happy Ramadan. You know, let's not do all this. So instead of the dinner, he and Melania sent out a statement sending warm greetings to Muslims. Johnny Depp has officially apologized for making a joke about assassinating the president. I believe what he said was, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? This was last week at a festival in England. In his apology, he said, it did not come out as intended. I intended no malice. I was only trying to amuse, not harm anyone. I don't know if the White House has talked to Depp. They did tell ABC News last week they were aware of the comments. Lakers want superstar Paul George, and the All-Stars made it clear through his agent that he wants to sign with the Lakers next summer. The question now is, can they trade for him, or will they just wait until July of next year to bring him in? But if the Lakers wait until he's a free agent next year, he could get traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers or maybe the Boston Celtics or the Houston Rockets. And there's a chance, they say, after being in a winning environment for a season, he could change his mind about the Lakers. So now there's a lot of pressure on Magic Johnson and the other people in the Lakers office to make their move now. So we'll have to see what happens with that. And Brad Pitt may be dating. He and Elle McPherson were spotted at an LA nightclub. A source says Elle was touching Brad's arm a lot, flicking her head
over
her
language,
shoulder.
Watch your language, sure signs.
Like we girls do. A lot of flirting. He was laughing at everything she said, leaning in really close. They're the same age. They're both 53. He didn't go for a 20-year-old. Yay, Brad.
How long did that laughing at everything last week?
when he goes, hey, we've got the kids this weekend.
Right.
What? That's the end. What is happening this weekend?
They met in 1999 when Elle played Joey's new roommate on Friends. At the time, Brad was married to Jennifer. So
that's right.
That's a pattern. Mm-hmm. That is news of the day.
Other birthdays today. If you celebrate your birthday, you celebrate with Nick Offerman. He's 47. Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec. Sean Hayes. Jack on Will and Grace is also 47 years old. Terry Nunn, friend of the show, lead singer of the band Berlin, is 56. Honey got her first kiss to this song, right?
I wanted to lose my virginity to this song because this is the song that was in Top Gun when Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis have sex for the first time. It didn't work out.
I love Berlin, but they need another hit, for God's sake.
Well, sometimes you just need one.
They had a couple hits.
They did?
This one.
No, they had this one, and they had Metro.
Riding on the Metro. Those two? Okay.
There's a couple hits.
They make sure they don't do both those back-to-back in a concert. Everyone would leave after.
Yeah, these are both encore tunes. let's see. Patti Smyth is 60 years old. Chris Isaac is 61. Mm. That seems old for him.
I know.
61?
Ladies used to love him. This video was all sultry and hot.
Oh, my God.
Had the model on the beach, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Even guitarists like him because that way he bent his guitar string.
Yeah.
Bow, bow.
So good.
Mick Jones, Clash guitarist, is 62. The ice is coming. The sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected. The wheat is good. Engines stop running, but I have no fear. Getty Watanabe is 62. Long Duck Dong and 16 Candles.
Automobile.
Oh, him. One of the funniest lines in the history of movies. That.
And singer in the Fifth Dimension, Billy Davis Jr., is 79.
Didn't he have a show with Marilyn McCoo, I believe, in the 70s? Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.?
Was that the Solid Gold?
That era, but that's...
So Marilyn McCoo was host of Solid Gold, right?
I don't recall that one.
Really?
Might have been.
I think so.
Look it up. Marilyn McCoo, host of Solid Gold.
I think they had their own show, too.
And their own show before that. Probably were all right.
And Don Cornelius hosted Soul Train. That I remember.
Is Don Cornelius still alive?
I think so.
Yeah?
He's got to be in his 80s, though, right? Maybe?
I partied with him one night.
Really? With Don Cornelius? He's the coolest guy ever.
I know. It was the strangest evening ever.
Oh, man. Maybe you come on after school and you watch it. Wow, they're actually dancing. We don't dance like that at my school.
Right.
And it's music you never heard before. I didn't play that at my school.
No. And then you try to dance like them. And you're like, well, nope.
I could probably give you some dirt on Don Cornelius.
Really?
Yes, I could. But what? I won't because I've already said his name.
Aww.
So here's the thing. When we come back... We're going to play, not really play a game, it's something I'm calling anonymous dirt.
Oh.
So over the weekend, you were out and about, and you heard some juicy stories. Now, I don't want to know anyone's name. I don't want to know, all I want is the raw details of the gossip, of the smut, of the dirty laundry. I don't want any names, places, or anything involved. I just want to know what you heard, anonymous dirt. You know what I mean? Because we always play F My Life or, you know, after the weekend. This is just anonymous. Could even be about yourself. Don't even give us your name. I just want to hear the dirt. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. And I have a lot of prizes to give away, so give up the dirt for prizes. Next, we are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. Trying to set the new called Anonymous Dirt. I want to hear your juicy stories that you heard about, you know about, without revealing where the story took place, the names involved in the story, just the raw details. I'll start. I heard this weekend that this woman that I know slept with her husband's, one of his friends, while he was asleep in the other room.
Oh, God.
Risky?
Uh-huh. No, my husband's a real deep sleeper. Don't even worry about it.
Why would you?
I don't
like at the party, obviously being flirtatious, and then wait till the husband passes out and goes to sleep, and then ends up sleeping with one of his friends while he's asleep
in the other room. God, people wake up from being passed out. If you want to, Can't you plan something a little bit safer than that? Where you may not get caught?
Maybe that's the thrill, Frosty, is it's like, oh my God. Shh, listen. Okay, no, okay. Wait, keep going. I mean, that thrill of that.
When I find out, and the guy will eventually find out because cheaters get caught. When I find out you cheated on me in the other room, that's worse than getting a hotel across town. It's like, how dare you?
When did this happen? Well, at the party. I was there. Well, you were asleep.
See, that's the worst sleep,
and then we did it right next to your sleeping body. What?
Jesus.
All right, so that's I didn't reveal any names and where it took place. I mean, obviously, you know, it's me saying the story, but anonymous dirt, we have no idea who's on the phone and where they got the story from. So let's go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Tell us your anonymous dirt.
Well, I heard that, I'm not going to say who, but she got pregnant and she doesn't think that the father, the guy that she's been with for the past 5 years is the father. She thinks it's somebody else.
So she cheated on her guy and got pregnant, and then she's telling her guy that it's his.
Yes.
And he has no idea the child is not his.
Mm. Ooh. Yes.
That's a good one. Some good anonymous dirt.
Oh, yeah, it is. Mike, I'm going to give you tickets to go see Iron Maiden with special guest Ghost at the Glen Helen Amphitheater.
No way. Yeah. Whoa, see? Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Thank God you know about that whore. So stay on hold, dude. My God, Frosty.
Makes you wonder how many guys would leave if they found that out, because really, the poor kid is already bonded with, dude, the kid's nothing wrong.
Yeah, you're the dad.
It makes me wonder how many guys are actually living the same life. Like,
right.
They're raising a kid that they believe is theirs, and that woman, the mother, will take that lie to the grave.
I'd stay. Even if, you know, maybe the ends our relationship, but you know what? For the sake of the kid, and I'm dad and I'm sticking around. But God, I hate your
Imagine
ass.
Imagine how relieved you must be as a man when that baby comes out and you're like, well, there's no denying that one. I mean, look at him. There
Would
must
you be
such...
able to, if she said, okay, you found out it's not yours, but we can't let the child know that it's not yours? Would you be able to keep it the truth from the child?
Totally agree until the kid's an adult. You know, kids can't handle stuff like that. I would set an age, 21 or 25, somewhere
and
there.
You'd ruin their mother to them when they're older?
I say I wouldn't bring it up, but if I'm asked, I'll confirm.
But why would they ever ask if you guys are living this live?
Daddy, how come I don't look like you?
Yeah, who knows? But if I'm asked, but I won't start that conversation.
Why do I look like Uncle Charlie?
If that's what they sound like when they're an adult, I would have left a long time ago. Not mine.
By the way, if the kid was only a year or two and didn't know me, then I think that'd be different. I'd say I'm out of here.
No, but at a year, they know you.
Okay,
bonded.
Yeah, not really. Eric, does your kid really know you from Adam? I mean, if you disappeared today and I raised your kid, they wouldn't remember you at all.
Yes, she would remember me. She calls me daddy.
No, I don't think she would.
I barely remember my first grade teacher and I was five. How was an 18-month-old?
She would remember me. No. I've made an impact.
No, believe me. I mean, my son and I were as close as you and Charlie. And so I asked him, like, furthest memories back. I remember that, buddy? We used to do that? No, I don't remember that. I mean, and this was like bonding moments of like father, son. And like, you don't remember that? No? Don't remember it at all?
Nothing I'm doing now she's going to remember none of it.
You're
none
a nice stranger doing nice things.
None of it.
What the hell am I doing all this work for you?
Exactly.
For yourself. Like I did it for myself to feel good. It just hurts they don't remember.
And Frank, this fatherhood thing happened to a good buddy of mine, and the dad did exactly what Frosty said. He came to him on his 18th birthday, and he said, listen, I know you think I'm your dad, and I know you've always wondered why you don't look like your brother and sister. I'm not your birth father, and we made a deal that when you turned 18, I could reveal it to you, but we cannot tell your mom.
Wait, what?
Can we not do it on my birthday?
If we made a deal, then why can't
son.
Then your mom knows about the deal? So why can't I tell your mom?
The birth father came to the adopted father and said, "Listen, when the boy turns 18, let's tell him." So they made that agreement as birth father
the two
and
dads.
Stepfather. Yes,
but don't tell the mom.
And the mother has no idea that he has a full blown relationship with his birth father.
How could you keep that a secret? Your mother lied to you this whole time. You know your mother's a liar. She never told you the truth. Your dad and your stepdad told you the truth. How could you not bring that up to your mom ever in your life?
It never comes up.
You know, if my kid was really close to mom, you know, like the mama's boy thing, I don't think I'd tell him then. I don't want him to know that his mom was a cheating, awful slut in life.
I would.
But I'm assuming that as years go by, because she is an awful person and a cheating bitch, that he's going to find out that she's got some bad stuff. If they don't have that close relationship, I'll go ahead and tell him then. But if they're super, super tight, I don't want to ruin his world then.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, there's disqualifying.
You ruin it then. No. So they go, well, why did daddy leave when I was six? Well, he found out that he wasn't your dad and that I lied to him the whole time and I slept around on him.
Oh,
so if that happens to me later in life, I should leave too, because that's what my dad did. I shouldn't stay with somebody who's a lying whore. Since dad taught me that lesson, I should leave, as opposed to just sit there and take it. Be the laughingstock of everyone who knows the anonymous dirt about you.
Oh,
no,
it's tough.
Teach the lesson. Get out now if that's happening to you. Let's go to Beth. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Tell us some anonymous dirt.
My sister is faking mental illness to collect money from the government.
Faking crazy?
Faking mental illness. How does she fake it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, she has a really, really shady psychiatrist who pretty much will write her any prescription she wants. Any sort of illness that she feels like, you know, flavor of the day, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little scary. She's been like this pretty much her whole life, and her husband coddles her and just lets her get away
she's
with it.
She's a husband? Ugh.
She's great in the sack,
sick.
I bet.
It's sick.
What she's mental illness crazy. Is being faked?
Oh, one, agoraphobia, but which magically disappears when she runs out of pot. It's so coincidental.
That's awesome.
That's like the main one, you know?
Beth, I'm going to give you a four-pack to America Fest, Rose Bowl, 4th of July, okay?
All right, thank you.
There you go. Bring some friends with you.
All right.
Stay on hold. We will hook you up with that.
And we're not tracing that call. We're not writing the number down.
No, it's not.
We have
this,
no idea who that was.
This is just
completely anonymous.
The raw details. I don't want to know where or when or who. All right, let's go to Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's going on?
Give us your anonymous dirt.
All right. My niece, she's a blonde hair, blue eyed, white girl. She got pregnant. Her baby daddy, African American. Anyways. She has the baby. Baby comes out, not his, not looking anything like him.
Well, that can happen. Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a black baby if you have a black father.
Oh, no, baby comes out blonde hair, blue eyes.
Like his mother.
DNA test.
They did a DNA test?
They did a DNA test. He wasn't the baby's dad.
Oh.
He was in the hospital crying. I mean, he knew right away.
Yeah, but sometimes with black babies, I mean, they're born really, really, really light, and then they get a little...
How do you know that?
I watch a lot of documentaries.
What documentary shows black babies being born white?
It was, oddly enough, it was called Black Babies Born White. A very special TLC. And you're like...
Well, I guess I had stopped on it, too. I'm like, what?
And you see this black couple, and the baby comes out, and the baby's white. And you're like, wait... What? And then as the baby matures, then it gets a little
dark. As the blood starts pumping.
No, sometimes, no. Sometimes
it stays
it
white?
Months, sometimes.
What? No.
100%.
It broke the poor guy's heart.
Dan, I'm going to send you to Iron Maiden, okay?
Fuck yeah, good looking out.
There you go, no problem. There you go. You can't say that on here. I have a stand hold anyway. I'll still give you a prize.
Even if that is, I've never heard of that, Heidi, but even if it does happen... If the colors don't match, that's grounds for a DNA test.
Well, you would
I'm
be
not,
like,
I'm just saying. Okay.
Right.
Maybe these things will darken later, but there are signs now that maybe we should have a test. You can't argue against that now. Look.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Right.
There's a chance this isn't mine.
What black guy sticks around for the DNA test?
Maybe that's what happens. He sees the baby's white. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Do not attend. That's what DNA stands for. Do not attend this kid's life. Bye.
And you can say without being accusatory, right? Honey, I love you. You're the center of my world. You're everything to me. But there's maybe evidence here. Maybe we should get a test. What do you think, honey? What do you think?
I don't think black chicks are real up on getting accused of sleeping around either. Hey, we get a blood test, honey.
She's like, oh, you want to get Maury on the phone? Bring it. Yeah,
Maury should just deliver babies.
But
and at that moment, he's like, okay, we'll find out right now.
If I go to the cupboard and I want a glass of Nestle's quick and I spoon a couple spoonfuls in the glass with milk and stir it up, and if it turns into strawberry, I think there's nothing wrong with go, can we make sure this is chocolate? Because it's strawberry. Can we take this
Does
to the lab?
Does it taste like strawberry? It tastes like strawberry chocolate.
Send this to the lab, honey. I love you, but I'm not saying you bought strawberry, but it looks like strawberry. So let's take this to the lab and see what it is. Nothing wrong with that.
Let's go to Kristen on line one. Hello, Kristen. Give us your anonymous dirt.
Hey, I've got two coworkers who are dating, very private people, and the girl just had some drinks with one of my friends at work and confided that not only are both of them married, but he actually just went on a honeymoon with his 35-year-old Christian marriage counselor wife who saved herself for him.
And he's sleeping with this girl at work who's also married.
You got it.
Oh.
Thank you so much. The work affairs. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. This is definitely a winner here. Hello, Josh.
Oh, hello. What's up, guys?
Give us your anonymous dirt.
I was lifting some people around, and I overheard my passengers saying that they caught a friend having a sexual relationship with the dog.
Oh. Shut up.
Well, who instigated, though? I mean,
oh God!
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, it was going on for a while. He admitted for like years. While
now,
did they say what kind of dog it was?
No, I tried not to listen so much once the information came out.
How could you try not to listen to that?
See, I think they're messing.
It was gross, man. It's not really. They were putting too many details in there.
Oh. If you were listening, how do you know the details were in there?
It's hard not to listen, but, you know, music, trying to distract myself, direction.
Put on Three Dog Night and crank it up.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh. I'm going to give you tickets to go see Iron Maiden.
Oh, my God, dude. Thank you. I love you all. You make my mornings great.
Thank you so much, man. Stay on hold.
I feel like that's Frank and I in the back of a car, and he goes, hey, you hear Frosty? He's like, he got caught.
We should do that.
You know what I mean?
Just screw with
people. Let's just get picked up by Uber or Lyft drivers and just say the craziest things in the back seat and see how they react.
Do that.
You know
that's
what I mean?
What that
like
was. That,
right. Like, let's throw our friend under the bus and say, Banks.
And there'll always be a story about Frosty.
At this point, it can only help my reputation.
We'll find out who listens.
Because really, the Uber guy can't act like he's listening. He is.
Right.
But he can't acknowledge it. But you know he's hearing it, but he's acting like he's not hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it even funnier.
Oh, my God.
It kind of makes me want to drive Lyft or Uber.
Just
for the stories.
Just for the stories. All right, let's talk to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing?
Give us some anonymous dirt for fun and prizes.
Yeah, man, this was years back, but I'm not going to say any names. I had a good friend. We'd all go out partying, and at the end of the night, we'd all ride home with some buddies. One of our friends would drive a van, and he would get so drunk everywhere we went. And his girlfriend, basically, whoever got in the seat next to her was gonna nail it. And while he was asleep right next to her, everybody knew it. Everybody would tell him. He'd always deny it, but he was the guy that passed out first, and it was game on for anybody who sat next to her, right next to him.
God, talk about the fight for Call of Duty. Shotgun! Oh.
Yeah, no one wanted shotgun. Right. Nobody wanted shotgun. Everybody wanted that. And it was that back seat. It was a van, so there was that third row. Oh. And it would be like him and her and whoever was sitting next to her. And he'd just be snoring away, and they're doing their thing. And it would be hilarious. And it just was
and
a common
everybody
thing.
Was in the van. How many people were in the van?
Anywhere from 5, 6. Oh, it was a three-row van. Yeah. It'd be full. You know, everyone coming home drunk, just full of people. And everyone would just be like, man, like Justin, or I guess that's his name, whatever. But he would be like,
well,
dude, like, you got
to. He's not anonymous now, dude. Sorry.
I feel bad for
it's
that
anonymous
guy.
Dirt.
Here's his friends, his buddies.
And he's not believing them. They're going, just so you know, when you pass out, your girlfriend bangs guys. And he's like, stop it, shut up, she's not.
Yeah, in the back of the van, right next to you. We're all in there.
You're like sleeping, and we've all banged her.
Shut up, you guys.
I guess maybe you wouldn't believe it.
Because I think if you're all banging her, then how good of a buddy are you? You know, you're like, okay, then you have to admit to your buddy. So you're ending that relationship right there, and you were drunk in the back of the van one night, and then she happened to do something to you. You're like, okay, maybe it's one night. Then she does it to the next guy.
That's why I feel bad for the guy. All his friends aren't his friends.
No.
And he seems a little stupid naive, too.
Should ask what she looked like compared to a celebrity. Now I'm just curious.
They were drunk, so nobody cared.
Or remember.
And it was in a van.
All right, let's see. Let's go to Derek. Hello, Derek.
Good morning, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. I love you guys.
Thank you, man. Give us some anonymous dirt.
My sister-in-law just married a man who she claims to love, but is obviously gay, and the wedding was elf-themed.
Now, is she just in denial and doesn't want to believe that he's gay?
I think it's all part of a massive conspiracy cover-up, and Frank wants to send me to Lobster Fest for it.
Do I have any Lobster Fest? Let's see. I do. There you go. You can have the last four-pack I have, okay?
Oh, my God. I absolutely love you guys even more. You guys are great.
Thank you. Derek. Spread the word for us around Lobster Fest.
And just because she marries a gay man doesn't mean it won't work. It worked for Liza Minnelli.
Sure. Well, for a while. That usually goes south eventually. Yeah, okay. Eventually.
So usually, what is it, the ugly woman who marries the gay man? Because he doesn't have to sleep with her and she wants to look like somebody wanted to marry her?
Yeah, what's the word for the, what's the word, Heidi, for the woman who hangs out with gay guys?
Oh, fag hag.
A fruit fly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, there is a type of woman.
I know you can't say it. You're in a bubble. I'm not.
There's a type of woman. Weird, huh? There's a type of woman.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry to ask what they're called. And there's a lot of them out there who enjoy the company of gay men.
Right.
You go, and they're happy to spend their lives with them. They got a guy to go out to dinner with and hang out with and go shopping with. Mm-hmm. And they don't look so, like, undesirable because they got a man. Even if it's not a real consummated marriage, it's a win-win for both of them. So who cares?
An arrangement.
Who
You're
cares?
You're like, no, we're keeping up appearances. You do what you do. But
how good of a friend are you? I mean, you're going to marry the guy and have this arrangement going on, but then don't you want to encourage him to live his truth, Heidi, and come out as opposed to be his beard and hide him?
I've only experienced it one time, and that was when a friend of mine, she had moved to Miami, and she ended up marrying a guy who wanted his green card. He came up from Panama. And they were, I mean, you see them out, both very beautiful people. And she married him just so he could get his green card. He went and did his own thing. They lived together because you have to, like, keep up appearances. And then once, whatever it was, I think they stayed married for, like, 3 years. And then he went on his way and lived his life. And they got divorced. And
so, but he was out to his family and everything else. He was living the lifestyle. He was going out to the clubs.
Oh, no, once he got to Miami, he was. But not when he was in Panama. He was like, I met a girl. I'm moving to Miami. We're going
to Don't you have to be straight for the green card guys in Miami? You can't be going out to the gay clubs.
Well,
in Miami,
once you get, they come and they do a check. And here's the thing: here's what he learned. He learned too much about his future wife because he studied like really really hard. Like, what kind of tampons does your wife? I mean, like, he wanted to know everything about her. Meanwhile, they didn't even ask any of those questions. They just show up at the house. They ask how you met, how long you've been together, but they don't ask.
Do they walk
you,
out of the bed? Now, where's your sleeping arrangement? Yeah, it's like, this is our master bedroom. This is where the magic happens.
Right. They'll ask that stuff. But they don't ask you. Like, he was studying, like, your shampoo. I want to know your shampoo. And she's like, okay. And they're like, I go, a real heterosexual relationship doesn't
But maybe
know
you
that.
Had a lazy investigator. You know what I mean? Maybe
That's
somebody
true.
Comes out there and goes, okay, what kind of shampoo does she?
But you wouldn't even know. What kind of shampoo does your wife use?
Oh, Pert.
No, I know she's a hairdresser. She does not use Pert.
You have different bathrooms, right? So a lot of guys wouldn't know if you have different bathrooms, especially.
Right. So I think it's like even a normal heterosexual like relationship where you're not trying to pull one over on anybody. The guy doesn't know what soap his wife uses. You'd be like, I don't know. There's so much in that.
And there's always 75 bottles of lotion and things. I don't know if it's lotion, it's a hair conditioner, or a detangler. I have no idea what stuff is. There's so many bottles.
Right.
She uses a secret. It's made for a man, but I like it too. Oh, wait.
That's deodorant.
Oh, deodorant. Okay.
See, you fail.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning. I love you guys.
Thank you. Do you have some anonymous dirt for us?
I do. So a good friend of mine and her husband, her best friend got pregnant by her husband. And so everybody kind of suspected it. And then they did a DNA test. But the wife was the only one who ever saw the results of the DNA test and kept it a secret. And so, and just to keep her husband, they raised the baby as like a love triangle.
So did the other woman, the best friend, get pregnant during an actual love triangle?
Yes. On a camping trip in the ocean behind a boat, and everybody knew it.
Well, that's not really shocking because it was common knowledge.
It was a three-way, and the other woman gets pregnant.
Right, but the wife would never admit it. She's the only one who saw the DNA test and wouldn't admit it because she didn't want to lose her husband.
That's good stuff right there. Should I give her a prize?
What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
All right, I'm going to send you to America Fest as well. Rose Bowl, 4th of July, furnished by America Fest.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Four-pack, stay on hold.
You'd think he would take, I don't know if it's a word or not, but conceptionatory steps.
Well, yeah, but if you're in the ocean, you can't wear a condom.
Why can't you wear a condom in the ocean? Who told you that?
You're in the ocean, and now how am I getting a condom on while I'm in the water?
I had it on before I went to the beach. I know what's going to happen.
You put it on, roll it down, jump off the boat. I mean, what? No, you can't work.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. It's a jellyfish. I'm sorry, honey. Back up.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I just never. You've wore a condom in water before?
No.
Of course you haven't. Yeah.
But I was thinking the woman, if she's going to do that, wouldn't you have the Norplan or be on the pill or something or have a some other?
Yeah. If I was with a woman who could get pregnant, maybe I would. I mean, I think at the time, you know, there was other precautions being taken. To where you could have sex in the water, and I didn't have to have a condom, you know, or out of the water.
Yeah, but I guess if I'm in some weird triangle sexual three way, and I'm just, I'd wear a condom. Who knows what is happening with?
But she didn't for some reason. She wasn't interested in.
Yeah, I guess it's for disease reasons.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe it's more acceptable since they didn't quite touch for real.
Well, what?
If you can let your guy sleep with another woman,
yeah.
It's like, well, he didn't really.
Oh, because he didn't go all the
way. It's like going swimming with your clothes on.
Oh, no. You're still wet.
The counts as swimming.
My clothes are wet.
And your body is, too.
I wore a dry suit.
4-3-full.
Three-thirty-five this afternoon.
Whatever time that is.
All right, let's go to Jace. Hello, Jace.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. What's your anonymous dirt?
Well, I play in a band, and our lead singer is married. All of the members of the band are married. And one night after a gig, some of them went home and partied at the lead singer's house. Well, one of my female friends ended up messing around with the lead singer, who's also female and married.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both passed out, and then when my female friend woke up, the same lead singer she was just making out with was fooling around with the bass player in the same bed right next to her.
That's rock and roll.
Indeed.
So are you upset that you weren't there?
Well, no, I'm not. it got to a big mess, and let's just say that the lead singer is no longer married now, and it all came out.
So now we know the truth about what happened to Reba McEntire's relationship.
Indeed. Yes.
Jace, let me see. I'm going to send you, since you like music.
You got any Queen tickets?
I don't have any Queen tickets. I'll give you the next best thing. I'll send you out to see Nickelback at the Greek Theater September 8th.
Oh, yeah, that's the next best thing.
Stay
on hold, Jace. Well, that was fun. How'd you guys like Anonymous Dirt?
That was good.
All we got was the raw details. No names, no places. Just the raw details.
Mm-hmm.
Good, juicy. Well,
nobody can get in trouble if we know what's happening out there. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. Let's take a quick look at traffic and get a quick 2 minutes. What's going on, Lisa?
Traffic report is brought to you by...
And now for one of my three all-time favorites.
You're locked on Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Frosty, Addy, and Frank show. Coming up at Lisa's News. She's going to give you the Subaru pet of the day. But in pet news, the world's ugliest dog in the world has been chosen. It's not that little hairless thing that looks like it has mange this time.
I have such a problem with this competition anyway. I saw who won. It's not even... Those dogs are adorable. And the dog who won's not ugly. I don't understand.
You think the uglier the dog, the more adorable it is.
You call this adorable? Look at that face.
Yes, it's a big old Neapolitan
look
mastiff.
Look at this thing.
Oh, yeah, boy,
it's an ugly dog.
No.
It's all jowls.
It is. It's like Jabba the Hutt melting gravity dog. It barely looks like a dog anymore. Poor thing can't help how he looks. But
now that I'm looking at his jowls.
Yeah. Picture the slobbers coming out.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like a walrus almost.
Look at it again, Frosty.
Frosty, let me hold it back here. Maybe you'll see it further.
From a distance, it's got a real distinct look to it.
I hadn't seen one of those for a while, so it took a while to set it.
Like it's an older dog.
Older, yeah.
See,
older
the people who voted for were like, wink, wink, vote for that one because...
I saw it over the weekend, but I never saw that picture of it.
Would you like to take this photo home to Friday night over some wine and low lights? You could look at that photo. And
either take the photo or just squat over a mirror.
Why, it looks like a Neapolitan Mastiff down there.
Which will have more drooping.
Why would they call it Neapolitan? I think Neapolitan is like the vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate ice cream. It's just a gray Mastiff. big gray dog.
Neapolitan is a place, I believe.
Yeah, I think it also means like from the city.
All I know is from the ice cream. That's
no,
Metropolitan.
That's Metropolitan.
Oh, Metropolitan. Sorry.
Neapolitan. I thought it was just the ice cream.
I don't know.
That everyone eats and leaves the strawberry.
Yeah, that's true. So why not just buy vanilla and chocolate ice cream?
Can they get rid of strawberry?
Can you imagine if the human race had the equivalent contest that the dogs do? Congratulations, you're the ugliest human being in the world.
They don't have that? I'm going to look it up. Look it up real quick, Eric. The ugliest human being in the world contest. I guarantee they have that someplace.
I don't think there's an official one. I think we all do point and laugh at ugly people, including I get that a lot myself.
Yeah.
But as far as having a competition to be the ugliest, who would want to be that person? Who would want to win that contest? This poor dog didn't want to win this.
Well, the owner entered that dog in the contest. So if you're the ugliest person, you have to enter yourself into the contest to try to win. And if you think you're ugly, you might as well win something for it.
How ugly would you have to be the ugliest person on the entire planet?
I mean, they're out there.
I would like to show you one photo if we have time. I'm scanning over the weekend looking at news stories. And this one guy's face popped up because he's a rapist they finally put away. He would lay in wait for real estate agents. He would say, I want to look at this house. And a real estate agent would show up, and he would have stalked him out and tried to attack him inside. They finally got the guy. But look at this guy's face!
Oh, my God! Oh,
this is the psychopathic, ugly face. I mean, you just know he's up to no good.
There's something
Here he is at the bar. By the way, you can see this on our website. You can see those there as well. Look at this guy. Having a face like this, you have to be a psychopath. Right?
Well, he definitely looks better with the goatee because it looks like he's had some...
like double hair lip surgery.
He had some cleft palate surgery for sure.
But
his nose...
But you can only spot crazy face. This is psychopathic face.
His face is Picasso's drawing.
Yeah, right,
there's not one part of his face that is symmetrical to the other parts of his face.
No, he's too, you split that in half, he's too different.
His eyebrows are different. His eyes are different shaped. His nose on each side is different shaped.
And he's huge, too.
Yeah.
So this guy would stalk these women, trying to get them to go out with him. Of course, none of them said yes, because he looks like this.
Right.
And then he turned to rape. Anyway, I know you shouldn't judge people by the way they look. Believe me, I know that. But when you come out looking like this, we need to lock you up because you have something wrong with you. No normal human being looks like this.
I mean, it's just him sitting at a bar drinking a beer. Now, if I owned a bar, I don't know if I'd want him there.
Yeah, excuse me.
Even though he might be a sweetheart, nice guy.
He's got a creepy face.
Sits to himself at the end of the bar just watching, hockey or something. But people walk in, they're going to go, ha! Ah! And then leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want him there.
No. Someday. Technology would be to the point where, like Minority Report, they can tell what you're going to do before you do it. They can tell we have a face like this, you're up to no good.
Yeah. I'm no precog, but that guy's up to no good.
Yeah, everyone who says they're not into genetic engineering, as far as like, I don't want to choose my baby's eye color. If they were able to predict your baby's going to look like that when it's an older man, you'd be in there just tinkering.
Yeah, start
going, let me get this thing right.
Now move the eyes around.
Yeah,
some
move
more.
Them around,
no,
get them back together.
The nose is
no
bad,
too far
back.
Apart, get them back in.
You can't do worse.
Oh.
Tinker as much as you want. You'll get something better than this.
Oh, and he's just smelly and...
Yeah, he looks like a retarded walrus.
Yeah, right. Doesn't he?
And he's got that one semi-drifting eye that's slightly sort of kind of looking in a different
and
direction.
And
the other
he's got dry, sticky mouth. But I just
wanted to... And he speaks very nasally. He's got asthma.
No, nasally, but low.
Big bulbous alcoholic nose.
Sticky mouth.
He weighs 400 pounds, too. I mean,
400 pounds.
Yeah, look at
that. But mostly head. Look at the size of that man's head and face and belly.
So he really thinks he had a chance with all these women. He would start at 15 or 20.
Did he eat himself fat so he couldn't blame his head?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, obviously girls don't like me because I'm overweight. But dude, if you were skinny, you'd be the ugliest person on the planet.
Even his ear is fat. Look, his ear is square. It's so fat, it's turned into a square ear.
Who has square ears?
Actually, I think he's so fat, he grew around his ear, and that's just a hole.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a second ear. It's an ear within an ear. A fat ear. Now that's fat.
That's when that's your rock bottom. Oh my God.
You think in high school he was a relatively cool teenager or did he always have problems because he,
no.
I don't think
he was that guy that always smelled like poop.
Yep. Dennis.
They wouldn't
Brian.
Have him, they didn't even want him in drama club.
Wait, I mean, what's his name?
What is his name?
He's 33 years old. His name is Frank.
Shut up, really?
Frank Yeager.
Oh.
Yeager.
By the way,
Feaky Frank over there smells like poo-poo.
Do you know when he actually told the cops and his therapist what his full-time work was? Stalking.
Shut up.
He admitted to them. I quote, "I truly enjoy the hunt and cannot wait for my prize." He considered himself a full-time stalker. He told the cops that's what he does.
So he'd drive around looking at bus benches to find hot real estate agents?
Or houses and with the photos. And he waited, you know.
That's what they should never do that. They should never use their picture like that.
Finally got caught because one real estate agent knew he was up to no good because look at him. And she refused to show the house. Some other guy from the office went instead. He was already in the house waiting to pounce on her.
Oh, my God. That's the scary part about being a real estate. You're in a house alone from like 1 to 4 on a Sunday.
And this guy shows up.
Yeah. Can you show me the bedroom? I'll be down here. So go ahead and help yourself.
I can look smell around. Your cookie all the way from the street.
What did he say?
Oh, God. He said he could smell my cookie.
Can't take off your blazer.
I can smell your cookie. I just watched it the other night. It's one of those movies
you have to
skip through. If Silence of the Lambs is on, you got to watch it.
So still, to me, the scariest movie
Even
of all time.
Hannibal Lecter wouldn't eat this guy. For starving.
Well, no, he's way too
fat. It's just too creepy.
Got any other pictures of ugly people?
Just that one.
Just that one. Ugly humans, ugly dogs.
Have an ugly frog photo.
They have an ugly frog?
Okay. How's there an ugly frog?
Well, there wasn't supposed to be a frog.
That's a hot frog.
Well.
But yeah, there was something.
Make a good point.
There was something on the plate of the woman's plate. She went to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. You ever go there?
Yeah, of course.
There's one in Burbank, which I go to now and then. I like it. This happened to be over in San Dimas.
I thought you stopped going there about 15 years ago.
They got good food and lots of brew there. I like the place.
Yeah.
But allegedly, this woman in San Dimas ordered a big, huge salad. And when the salad showed up, there was something that looked kind of weird. She says, I passed it to my husband and said, is this a piece of lettuce, honey? He said, quote, no, it's a friggin' frog.
That doesn't look like a piece of lettuce. It looks like a frog.
It is a frog.
I mean, his back legs kind of look like walnuts in that one picture. Like, you might think, oh, it's a walnut.
When you lay a dead, slimy frog in the middle of a salad and coat it with dressing and croutons, you can't tell what it is.
Just eat it.
It's probably delicious.
And see, that is covered in the dressing. It's not.
It looks like
I was wondering, like, what's wrong with that frog?
It's
like,
weird frog goose.
Because if you turn that paper the other way, Frosty, where it's upright, yeah, it looks like a man, like an alien man. Look at its, look.
Well, the legs, look at.
You've never seen frogs' legs before?
But look at that.
They're like Irish dancing man legs.
Glowing eyes. I can't even see its eyes.
See, glowing eyes and like a really pointy nose, like a witch, an alien witch.
What?
Oh, that's just the reflection, the light reflecting off the dressing.
The sauce, yes.
No, if you look at it,
look, Frosty.
The white dots look like eyes.
Look at the face.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Right? Yeah, it looks like a demon scary face. Well,
yeah, you have to look at this.
Oh, my God.
Some people who are watching the show right now can actually see what we're talking about.
But anyway, so the woman's mad because they offered her a $50 gift card, and they said they still had to pay for their own drinks, which made them mad.
Would you say she was hopping mad? I'm asking.
Would you want a $50 gift card to a place that served frog salads?
No, there's a restaurant that I'm sure is awesome, and I used to love it all the time, and I will never go there again because I found a cockroach under my quesadilla. And it was a good place. I still see it. I still drive past it. And I'll never go back there again.
It was cooked.
If we were all going and you're like, hey, we're going to go to such and such. I'm like, I'm not. No, I'm not going back.
It was a live one.
That's it.
It ran off the plate or was it dead?
Well, no, he was dead.
Well, then he was cooked. He was cooked. He was all fun.
No, I think he was on the plate. Then they put the quesadilla on there. And then the quesadillas always come in those four triangles. And I was like, I ate right to left. I get to that last one. I picked up the last one. There he was.
Ah.
And I was like, oh. I never went back to that restaurant ever again. And it's a nice place.
You've seen Gordon Ramsay's kitchen hours. You can't get every single cockroach.
You've eaten so many cockroaches in your life.
Listen, I avoid them if I can. If I can't.
Didn't you have a story last week about how much insect parts are actually available, or not available, but allowed in your food?
Yeah, I've tossed it now. But yeah, over the your lifetime, especially if you eat things, the grains of any kind,
there's
so many chopped up little pieces of.
Like mealyworms.
Mealyworms and crickets and grasshoppers. You eat, I think the number was 10,000 insect pieces over your lifetime.
Well, I got a text here from 626 says it was a BJ's in West Covina. My friend was the server.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, have your friend call in.
This one says San Dimas. Well, she's from San Dimas. Okay.
I mean, how does the server not see that?
Well,
it's in a salad.
But I thought it was like...
Well, you're going to take the picture of the frog when you put it on top. sure it was under some leaf and some crouton chunks.
Yeah.
She says, the woman who allegedly got the frog salad, says she's felt queasy ever since the incident.
Yeah. I'd probably not eat salad anymore.
She got checked out. No salmonella poisoning. She went to a doctor. She's fine.
Well, because you can eat frogs, right? So
yeah, frogs all the time.
I don't know that
eat
I
the frog.
Been frog gigging before.
Right.
Just don't take the bones out. It won't be crunchy with it. How do we know she didn't put the frog on there? Like the lady who claimed she found a finger in a Wendy's chili a few years ago, and she brought the finger in and stuck it in there. How do you know she didn't slap the frog down there?
We took a frog from our science class. I think it was the first year our school got a salad bar in the lunchroom area. We took a frog from our science class and threw it in the salad bar.
Oh, God. And those are like formaldehyde frogs.
Like right.
Lab
hard.
Frogs.
Right. It didn't close down the salad bar. They just picked it out and said, stop doing that.
Yeah, it's a different
That's
time.
The good old days. Yeah. Now, like a lawsuit, mm-hmm. Department of Health.
They didn't or a gift card.
Yeah. Did you find that story, Eric, about the bugs?
I did, and it's going to scare the hell out of you.
All right.
Because the number one thing that bugs are found in is something we all consume in this room every single day. Coffee.
And
it has the most insect fragments.
Eric doesn't also say in there somewhere hops, so if you drink beer. Hops
as well, yeah.
The grains... If you're a beer drinker, you're drinking, eating little insect pieces almost every single beer. There's a microscopic little piece in there.
Hmm.
Seriously, thousands of them.
Look at coffee. It's just basically they're exploding in the hot water, and they're on the bean somewhere. So when you're grinding it down, you're grinding bug, and then you're boiling bug. And
I'm almost fine with that. I had the cricket cookies from the cricket flour Frank brought in. I've eaten, you know, crickets in certain places. I think for me, if it was a cockroach that they ground up and it was in something that I didn't recognize... And I'm eating it. And
sprinkle it on top of something like pepper?
It's fine, but somehow to see it's like that there with its tentacles and its eyeballs and its little legs.
Tentacles.
And it's just, or whatever.
And yeah. Tennis.
She wants to look like a bug. She just wants, cockroach just, flakes.
You know what Got I mean? Like how you feel about meat. You don't want to see...
I want to see little pieces ground up. Then you're much more palatable.
You're right. You don't want to see eyeballs and stuff like that. Like when somebody brings a fish to your plate and it's like actually still a fish. And I go, what do you... I don't even know how to
You
eat
want
this.
It in a meat cone like a hot dog.
You're
as opposed
right.
to whatever it looks like before
but
it goes
it
in the hot
like
dog.
It looks like an actual bug. You're like, oh, my God.
I had a piece of pizza once. I had a fly on the very corner tip where the Best Bite is. And I had to throw away half the... Now, if the fly was chopped up in 72 pieces, I would have gone ahead and eaten. I wouldn't care.
As a black olive.
But a whole fly... You know that last piece you saved, like the best bite?
The best bite.
I get down to it. Oh, there's a fly in it!
Did he land on it, or he was in it?
He was cooked in the cheese.
Ooh,
legs up.
Wow.
Oh,
sticking up in the air.
What a way to go,
like.
Though, huh? You wouldn't mind going that way.
I didn't know you looked at pizza before you ate it.
But the last piece, I was admiring it.
He saves that last
piece. That last little triangle down there in the middle of the thing. So, the piece.
It's like kissing your girlfriend goodbye. Okay, honey, I guess. See you later. Oh, my God, there's a fly on my pizza. I've eaten the whole thing.
Oh, there's probably more than one fly on that one.
So think of all the starving children out there or anyone who's starving, listening to you two talk about not wanting to eat flies unless they're crumbled up on
I
top
know.
Of your food.
Yeah.
It's like
I know.
If you're hungry enough, flies are dinner.
I know the starving children of Somalia would love to have that frog salad.
Like, that looks really good to them right now. They're like, ooh, yummy.
The fact that it has dressing on it makes it a delicacy over there.
Oh, God.
What restaurant's offering free food?
There's a restaurant offering free food, Frank. With
really?
No strings.
I had no idea.
No strings attached. It's one in Montreal, Canada. This is actually a touching, feel-good, warm and fuzzy story.
We like going out of business sale?
Well, this isn't the greatest business move to offer free food, but here's the thing. There's these two guys who are now in their 50s. They've been operating this restaurant for several years, done well. They're immigrants. They're Muslim immigrants who fled the Middle East. They're one's from Iraq, one's from Iran. They started a restaurant in early 90s. They fled over there in 92, and they have this great business all these years. Now they said, you know what? We're going to give back to the community. Anybody who comes in, if you can't pay, that's fine. It's free. Now, do you think the place was overrun by freeloaders? No.
Yeah, right.
They get about 20 a day, and the other customers they've noticed have been overpaying to help pay for the people who can't.
Oh.
So if you can't pay, don't pay.
If you really can't afford it, if you're poor, your money's gone, street person, whatever, they bring the bill, say you can't pay. They say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And the other people who can pay have been paying more than the bill to be up the kitty of cat for the hungry people who can't pay because they don't have any money.
I'm sure it works the same way, too, for the soup kitchens and things out there that are only supposed to be for the people who can't afford food. I'm sure there's people who can afford food who go in there and eat for free.
I've been tempted a couple just times to see what it's like.
You know, good soup. You know, like government
really?
Cheese is good cheese.
One thanks to the cheese, no. Government cheese. Mm-hmm. I served one time when I was into doing charitable work, back when I was young and foolish. Now I'm old, fat, bored, and too tired, so over it. But back then, I served Thanksgiving dinner one time. I think it was in Milwaukee, downtown in Skid Row. It was delicious food. Turkey, dressing, all the good
you
stuff.
You ate?
Well, you get a free meal if you're done serving the indigents.
I don't think you're supposed to eat.
I thought I took a meal. I thought you get to take a meal when you leave. I assumed.
Well, yeah, I think you can if you're serving.
Yeah, I worked my 2 hours like I signed up,
and then
I took
a
meal.
You just sat down at the table?
I made myself a meal and left, went home with it. Actually, I think I made
you
two.
Ate
you made
car,
two.
Because they're small.
Andrew Santino, if you're watching the show, I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, is going to be in studio with us at 8 o'clock talking about the show. He's also got his Showtime comedy special out now, Andrew Santino, Home Field Advantage. He will be in here hanging out with us at 8 o'clock, and Lisa May's going to give us some traffic and news. But why should we all be vacationing in Nashville on August 21st? I'll tell you why after traffic in a quick 2 minutes. What's going on, Lisa?
Traffic Report is brought to you by...
Morning Sickness Continues with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On the rock of Southern California, Rock 95.5 KLOS.
I will tell you all why we should be vacationing in Nashville on August 21st, because something special is going to be happening there. But I'm not going to tell you until Lisa gives us what's going on in the world. What's going on, Lisa?
News of the day is brought to you by Southern California Edison. Let's start with Millie, our Subaru pet of the day, a four-year-old pit bull mix. She's full of love. She loves to learn new things.
Oh, that dog would eat you if you die.
She's pretty. They all look like that.
Most dogs would eat you if you die, but that dog really looks like it would.
What's that in his mouth?
She's got
a fibula?
Bow on.
She's pretty.
Is it carrying a... bone in his mouth? A human? What is that?
That's a bow.
Oh, a bow. It's like a bloody bone from over here.
It does.
You
from
may
that
need
distance.
Glasses. It's
ripped from the carcass of a passing jogger.
It looks like it's
jogger.
A bloody bone out of his mouth. Yeah.
I may need to make you a copy of this and give it to you before.
Good looking dog, though.
She is a good looking dog. That's Millie. Go to 955klos.com. Get all the information about her. The Subaru Pet of the Day is brought to you by the all new 2017 Subaru Impreza. It's more than a car, it's a Subaru. Red flag warning issued by the National Weather Service for the Antelope Valley, Santa Clarita Valley, and San Gabriel Mountains from 9 this morning until 9 tonight. Of course, the red flag warning means high risk of wildfires. The heat wave, as Frank mentioned earlier today, is supposed to break tomorrow. Now, a fire did break out yesterday near the 14 in Placerita Canyon. It affected lanes on the 14. There were some evacuations ordered. At first, they thought about 850 acres had burned. They've updated that to 750 acres. The fire is now 50% contained. Residents were allowed back into their homes last night around 10 o'clock. Transformers the last night was number one at the box office. Between Friday and Sunday, it made $45.3 million. Wonder Woman and Cars 3 tied for second place, $25.17 million. 47 Meters Down was in fourth place, $7.5 million, and All Eyes on Me made $5.8 million. That put it in fifth place. Now, Transformers the Last Night was actually released on Wednesday. So if you look at the five-day box office, it made $65.1 million. But reviews... terrible.
Right.
So I think that's about all it's going to make domestically. So now they're looking to the overseas market to make it make some money.
And it'll do fine overseas.
It is doing great, Heidi. $217 million is what it costs to make. In China, on opening day, it made $41 million. That was just opening day. Jeez. So, it will do fine there. Eid al-Fitr is a celebratory meal for Muslims. It marks the end of the month-long fast of Ramadan. It can last up to 3 days. in subcountries, and the beginning of that was Saturday night. And for the last 20 years, the White House has hosted a Ramadan dinner, but not this year. President Trump decided to skip the dinner, and some people think it's because he got a lot of criticism from Muslims for a statement he released at the beginning of Ramadan, which basically said, this year as the holiday begins, the world mourns the innocent victims of barbaric attacks in the United Kingdom and Egypt, directly contrary to the spirit of Ramadan. So instead of a dinner, he and Melania sent out a statement sending warm greetings to Muslims. Southern California Edison wants to keep you safe around electricity. If released, metallic balloons can cause power outages and safety hazards. Always make sure they're securely tied down. And that is news of the day.
So why should we be going to Nashville on August 21st? What's happening? Well, for the first time in 99 years, a total solar eclipse will cut through the entire continental United States.
Now, oh, cool!
As far as cities that you could, it's going to do Nashville, but on the West Coast, it's going to be up through Oregon. It's going to slightly, you know, descend down through the continental U.S.
So we only get partial eclipse down here,
yeah,
I guess?
If we see it at all. But it's like right in the middle where you get 2.5 minutes of where the moon is in front of the sun.
Wow.
You see the glow of the sun around the moon. It's going to be
cool.
In Nashville. It hasn't happened for almost 100 years.
We should go.
We should go.
It's our only chance, right?
It's really, yeah, the only chance for
bring a shoebox with a hole in it.
You're right.
Never understood that.
No, I think in this case, it's a total eclipse. If you're going to look at a partial eclipse, you're still looking at the sun, so you need the shoebox, but it is a total eclipse.
It goes dark.
The moon covers the entire sun, and all you see is the glow of the sun around the moon.
So
you can look directly at it.
Yeah, it's like night, right? Even it goes dark.
For 2.5
creepy
minutes.
Creepy would that be? We should go.
It'd be kick-ass.
Cool.
I think we should go on broadcasting because I think broadcasting eclipses is great radio.
Oh, yeah, we'll describe it to you as we're staring at it. Oh, look at that. It's magnificent.
Wish you were here in Tennessee. That's great radio, isn't it? Brought to you by...
We'll sacrifice a virgin or something. It seems the thing to do, right?
Where are we going to find that? We're in L.A.
Is there any left in Tennessee?
Sure as hell can't take Lisa with us.
No. That ship has sailed.
Yes, as the sky will go dark for a few minutes in the middle of the day, stars will appear.
Creepy.
Birds will become confused.
Oh.
Well, that's sad.
Most of the country will see a partial eclipse, which is also cool, but for the complete show, you need to be in the 60-mile wide path.
The swath. Of the shadow.
One of those places is Nashville, if you want to go see that. So 1-800-955-5567 is the number. We come back. Andrew Santino is going to be joining us in the studio. He plays Bill Hobbs on Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here with Jim Carrey as an executive producer. It shows about the struggles of making it big in the 1970s L.A. comedy scene. And Andrew will be in here with us next. So keep it here. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. Andrew Santino plays Bill Hobbs on Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here, and he's currently in our green room. Let's get him in here, talk about what's going on.
Ooh, it's a mix.
It's the remix. All right. How you doing?
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Where do these go?
Sure.
They can just, thumb on the ears. You know, it's a new thing they do in radio.
Perfect.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Now, you're going to be upset with
I'm
going to
be upset with you?
Well, I think I've been trained to watch television differently now. When I saw the trailer for I'm Dying Up Here, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to watch that. It looks awesome. And so I set my DVR to record the whole series because now things come out in series. You binge watch stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have them all, but I have not watched a single episode.
All right, I'm going to get out of here. Thanks
all right, see you later.
Andrew,
nice seeing you. But when I finally watch it, we'll have you back, and it'll be awesome, the whole interview.
No, I get that. That's the thing. A lot of people have said that before, that they binge watch. I blame that on like Netflix.
Right.
And,
they screwed us.
I get that. That's fine. Listen, as long as you watch it at some point, I don't really care. But for the rest of you, you should be watching it week to week. But don't follow by example.
The 70s comedy scene.
Yeah.
Now, the name of the club is...
Goldie's.
And now is that based off of what? The Comedy Store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's...
Polly Shore's
mom.
Yeah,
there's a lot of controversy over whether or not we're supposed to say that. The truth is, it's based on the book, and the book gives us kind of the world and the time period. So we don't really say... It's the Comedy Store. It's not. We mentioned the Comedy Store on the show. Like, we're a separate club on, you know, on Sunset. But, yeah, Melissa Leo, who plays Goldie, who owns the club, who's, you know, a brilliant actress, she's separated herself. So if you ask her, she's playing Mitzi, she'll fist fight you for it. She doesn't like when people say that. She, multiple times people are like, so it's like Mitzi? She's like, it's her own person. We're like,
right.
Good luck.
Don't mention that again.
Mm-mm. So being a stand-up comedian in this day, how much is it similar to the 70s? I mean, you go back and look at what it was like then.
I mean, I think the craziest thing for me was like trying to read other material that's not your own was crazy.
Think of that.
To get out of your own head. Like, a lot of people are like, criticize the actors on the show trying to do stand-up. I would argue it's so much harder for us stand-ups to do fake stand-up because you're so used to your own voice.
It's a different rhythm.
It was so hard to get out of your own head. Because every time you read a joke that the writers would write, you'd be like, oh, I don't know. It's not even good. It's so hard to, like, get over that hump. But once you did, and then you also have to take into account, people have said to us, like, critically, some people are like, you know, people that are like, I was around in the 70s, and this is kind of similar to some of the material, and that I appreciate, but I hate when I get, like, a young, like, a 28-year-old kid that's like, those jokes aren't what they would have told. Were you there? Do you remember that time period? So that's always kind of this thing where that the writers juggled constantly with trying to write an original voice and also, like, something somewhat of the time, you know? So that was the hardest trick for me, is myself, Al Madrigal, and Eric Griffin are the three stand-ups on the show. And we all kind of had to, like, work to get out of our own head a little bit. Because you'd get up there, and in between takes, you want to entertain all these extras that are sitting there. So you're background artists. I apologize.
Oh, you caught yourself, though.
I'm going to get lit up on Twitter for that. No, but you'd just be joking around and doing kind of your own stuff. And doing crowd work and having fun to, like, loosen them up. Because it's so tight and cold, and it's usually, you know, 6 a.m., and these poor background people are sitting there shivering, drinking coffee, and then all of a sudden they're like, camera's up, let's laugh, like it's a comedy club at Friday night.
In the middle of the set.
Yeah, it's impossible. So we would do that, and then you'd have to break and then get right back to the jokes, which was probably the hardest thing in the world. To, like, get them to even fake laugh was hard, because they were like, go back to having fun before.
Heidi's mastered it with us for 17 years.
So
her
lucky.
Fake laugh is,
I know, every
is on
every time
point.
I hear it, I'm like, she's got to be on something good to, like, to be loving these guys
chocolate.
This much.
Andrew Santino's with us. He plays Bill Hobbs on Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here. As far as the comedians of the 70s, who were some of your idols?
I mean, you know, I think I was kind of blessed when I read this role. This role, Bill, is just coincidentally named the same name as Bill Hicks. And it's not Bill Hicks. Like, we are derivative of. That's, like, a big thing that they kept saying. They're like, don't say we're based on. We're derivative of, and I think it's playing homage to that generation. And I think my character is very much Bill Hicks. I loved him a lot, so it's a great coincidence. I think he was just one of those guys that was prolific and a little ahead of his time and maybe too angry, which I like. I like angry guys. I think that was what I always loved. I mean, I think because I grew up around angry people in Chicago, you know, like when your dad's angry, you're like, yeah, that's what I want to be, is angry when I get older. The more angry.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. No one wants to be angry anymore. You're allowed to be a nice guy now. No. And I want to take it back to the old anger days. So I was happy to be. To get this character, because I really think it embodied that kind of vibe that I liked about the 70s, which a lot of other 70s comics were a little bit more shucking and jiving and snappy and quick, and the jokes were like, hey, and punchlines were really fast, and I never loved that kind of comedy. I liked more cerebral and deep commentary and, you know.
Is that a Chicago type of love for that type of comedy? Is that a regional thing?
Maybe it's just because, I grew up with a cold, cold heart in Chicago, and, like, when you grow up in, like, bad weather, angry stuff makes you happy, because you're like, yeah, we can all relate.
And you probably grew up drinking a lot of Malort, right?
Yeah, Malort is a terrible, great thing. If anybody knows Chicago, you buy a Malort shot for an out-of-towner.
Yeah, because I was told you guys drink this stuff like Jaeger there. It's just like, oh, my lord.
But we drink it as, like, a bit.
Okay.
People don't really, I mean.
An angry bit.
Yeah, it's an angry bit. Right, it's an angry bit. It's like if you get an old style of Malort, you know. It's nice to buy a Malort shot for someone that's not from Chicago, that comes to Chicago.
And then, because everyone pretends like we love it, but we don't.
That's how you got it.
Yeah, it's great.
I think I get 99%.
Who gave you that Malort? Where'd you get that from?
One of our producers used to be from Chicago.
Yeah.
And he moved out here, and he turned us on to this stuff.
He did the
and
same thing you're talking about. You guys, let's all do this shot of Malort. It's
let's
like,
do some Malort, dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
so then it became the Malort Challenge, where nobody wants to drink this stuff.
It's miserable.
Play a game, and the losers have to do a shot of it. But yeah, it's absolutely awful to watch Heidi drink it, because she's dry heaves every single time.
And you'd think that, because we've done it for a long time now,
you never get used to it.
That you'd think I would build, like, eventually there's going to come that shot where I'm like,
yeah, it settles in a little bit.
I got it, but every time, I even talking about it, I get that.
When was the last time you had a sip of this?
Oh,
been a while?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Sure. You want to give a little nip?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Cheeto Santino can't say no to that.
No, man, are you kidding me? I'll do a shot of Malort for Chicago.
You got the nickname Cheeto in Chicago?
No, I got the nickname Cheeto out here, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I told this story on James Corden, too, because he was like, I got to know where this comes from. I was playing in a basketball league with a bunch of East L.A. guys when I first moved out here. And we would go play basketball, and then we'd go to a bar and just get wasted. As you know, just... there's so many cuss words I'm trying to avoid right now. But anyway, and then we would hang out and get drunk, and my buddy Pookie was staring at my legs. And he was like, he was staring at my legs really weird. And he's like, hey, dog, I just like noticed, but you got orange leg hair, dog? And I was like, yeah, I have orange leg hair. He's like, that is gross, bro. I never noticed that. That's nasty. That's like if you ate a bag of Cheetos and you wiped the finger dust all over your legs. You got them Cheeto legs, dog. So Cheeto just was like that.
It has to stick.
I embraced it wholeheartedly, especially because it sounds, the Cheeto Santino has that like slight off rhyme to it. But after that, they all laughed, and immediately there's like two ways to take that when someone jokes on you is like embrace it or get angry about it and then be more embarrassed because then they use it. So I was like, I have to become Cheeto.
Yeah.
And then like everyone kind of just loved it then. It didn't become a make fun of me thing. But your whole life as a redhead, you deal with all that.
You got that your whole life.
Like I always say, like I used to get people used to say all the time that, you know, like carpet match the drapes. That's one of the most annoying things. Like after a stand-up show, some drunk dude is like, hey, does the carpet match the drapes? Like they think that's an original joke.
Okay, never heard that one.
Yeah. And every time I'm like, oh, are you a grown man asking about my penis hair? Is that the worry? Is that on your mind? What my genital hair looks like? Go home with your wife and get out of here, will you? Weirdo. But yeah, as a redhead, that's like a thing. You just learn how to make fun of that stuff. So that's where the Cheeto came from. And then now it's become... Now I just kind of did it as a Twitter handle and all that stuff and Instagram. And then it's caught on. So now when I go do shows in different cities, people yell Cheeto like constantly. And some guy was like, you should make a deal with Cheetos. Do get them to sponsor you. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, man, it's just a nickname. I don't want to be the Cheeto guy for the rest of my life.
Not the goal.
No.
Did you have a different nickname growing up in Chicago?
Idiot. Yeah.
It was just idiot.
Nice dad, right?
Yeah, the angry dad.
Idiot! Get out of here! It's in class. They'd call my name. Is Andrew here? No, I wouldn't even respond. Is Idiot Santino in here? Yes, I'm
present.
Right here. Yeah, present. No, but I, no nicknames growing up. In fact, it's so weird. We were just talking about this with a friend of mine. When I was a kid, it was always Andrew. And then at some point, you get, like, name raped into being Andy. Or a Y, or a, you know what I mean? Like, they shorten your name.
You so don't look like an Andy.
No, but it, like, happened to me. It was so weird. I got, like, I just got put upon me, like, this is the deal. You're Andy now. And I never really loved it, but the way to avoid it is most people call me Santino. I never, so now when I hear Andrew, it throws me off.
Mom?
Yeah, yes.
Andrew.
It's probably because there was another Andrew in the class. It's like, you can't have two Andrews. So you're going to be Andy.
Right.
By the way, I'm curious because I didn't know. Did you grow the beard to play Bill Hobbs? I know you're bushier on the show and you've got longer hair because it's the 70s.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I kind of like it. I'm keeping it.
No, I've had a beard for so long now.
I did see pictures where you didn't. So
yes.
I'm just wondering.
When I first moved to L.A., I had like no facial hair because I was like, I thought it was like a better way to get work. That I was like, I'll be clean shaven. You know, like a good boy or something. And then I started growing a beard, you know, just because of the pain of stand-up comedy. You're like, I have to cover up my sadness somehow. So I just kept a beard going.
Be sad as hell.
You are. Yeah.
I'm just a sad man.
We all know that.
Have you ever had this size of beard that I have going on right now? This is like a bucket list thing for me, though.
On the show.
Pretty big on the show.
On the show, it's big, but my beard grows. So there's two ways that a beard grows, is down or up. So mine grows up to my eyeballs. It doesn't go down. Like, I see dudes with, like, beautiful, long, thick beards. But most beardy guys are impressed when I do the when I grow it out when I'm on the show, because it goes up high. It's huge. Yeah. And I put product in it and all that stuff, and it still fluffs right back up.
You gotta shave from your lids.
Yeah.
Eyelids
down. I shave my whole face all the way down. No, but I keep a beard now, but I keep it clean. Much more thin. Yeah, because the show beard is so big. It's nasty. Mm-hmm. At some point, if it grows too much, food is an issue. Yeah. Eating is a thing.
Yeah, coned ice cream is out of the question.
Forget about it. It doesn't exist. Also, a grown man shouldn't be eating coned ice cream in the first place.
It's tough enough when you're clean shaven.
Sitting outside at the park. Why is he
watching
eating
the kids on the slides?
Go down it again. Hello.
Grown men get it in a cup. They're like, cup.
Should grown men even eat ice cream
at
some point?
Yes, on their couch, but late at night. Sad. That's me every night.
All right, here's the shots of alert.
Oh, God.
There we go. In honor of our guest, Andrew Stanchino, who hails from Chicago. This is where this this wormwood liquor comes from.
I'll give you, this is an old Irish quote. I don't know it in Gaelic, but it's in English. It's, there are good ships and there are wood ships and there are ships to sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships, and that's what you are to me. Cheers. Oh. Look at that. That's very nice, huh?
Now let's take a shot.
It really does take. I see, I'm the only one that did that normally, I guess.
It's something about the delayed reaction of the moment.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all.
I've had so many years of this stuff.
Well, I'm an alcoholic, so that didn't bother me at all. Isn't even coffee. I just died.
That's his 10th one today.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
This is just whiskey browned.
Chicago, I've been there a couple times. I grew up in Indiana in Terre Haute, which is 3 hours south of Chicago.
Yeah, I know
so
it.
We used to go there, and used to be a Bear fan growing up because we didn't have the Colts at that point when I was a kid in the 70s. So we were all Bear fans. Are you a big Bear fan?
You know, it's so funny. I'm a diehard Chicago sports fan. The Bears are the only team that I just grew up. Growing up, you just have gear. But I never really, like, fell in love with the Bears as much as people from Chicago love the Bears. And I know Chicago people will be like, what? Like, I was a Bulls and a Cubs fan and a Hawks fan. My dad and my mom were, like, loved basketball and hockey and baseball. Football was always like, yeah, we loved the Bears, but, like, never like I did. With the Cubs, to me, was, like, the greatest thing in the world. Going to a Cubs game with my dad, it was, like,
did you get to go back to any of the World Series games?
Dude, I actually, I took my dad to Game 4.
Oh,
it was
Andrew.
Probably one of the greatest moments of my life. I was sitting on my computer, and when we were the moment that we won to go to the series, I called my dad, and I was like, I'm drunk, and I'm about to spend a ton of money on taking you to the World Series. And my dad was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, like, that kind of money for my dad is like, what do you know? That's insane. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. And I was just drunk enough, and my wife was like, do it. So, click. I did it. It was amazing. And I...
He's married to Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
A little known secret.
Do it! Come here, Rob.
Your dad's like, thanks, idiot.
Yeah, he was. He was actually, well, it was hard to convince him to want to do it because my dad was just like, that's so much money. That's so crazy to do that. But I was like, I don't care. This is a once in a lifetime. And we were shooting, I'm dying up here, and we were shooting this insanely long scene. And it just so happened that I was shooting from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. And I had to be on a flight to Chicago at like 7 a.m. to make it to the game that evening. So I was, like, pushing hardcore with the director, like, can we get me out of here as fast as I can? And this is, I'll tell this as fast as I can. But essentially, I get home, get my stuff, get my wife. We get to the airport. We're there with, like, plenty of time to spare. I'm feeling really good. I'm like, we're going home to Chicago. We're going to see the World Series. We're at LAX. The plane is, like, right there. Like, yes, let's get on. We get on the plane. It's one of these brand new American Airlines planes. And they're like, we're having some difficulties. We're not going to be able to take off. And, like, my heart slowly started to sink. And I had that impending doom of, like, oh, no, this is all going wrong, and it's going to continue. And she's like, we're fine. It'll be delayed 20 minutes. We'll be fine. Nope. Another, like, 40 minutes goes by. We can't take off because of blank, 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 whatever. Now I'm, like, getting lower and lower. I'm calling my dad. I'm like, we're going to miss the game. It's not going to happen. I'm on the phone with Ticketmaster about to sell the tickets because at this point, I'm not going to make it. And then I call my dad. And for the first time in a long time, I'm on an airplane in the galleyway bawling with Ticketmaster. I'm like, I think I need to sell my tickets. I'm like, I haven't cried in so long. And my dad was like, no, don't do that. It's okay. No, no, no. Where are you? I'm like, I'm on the plane. He's like, are you crying in front of the plane? And I'm like, in front of the whole plane. Like bawling. And the whole plane is staring at me like, what's wrong with this guy? And thank God I didn't sell the tickets. I held out because I thought because if you don't sell them by a certain time, you're screwed because right. They're online tickets. Like there's nothing I can do. There's no one there to sell them. And I just was like, I'll take the hit if it doesn't work out. We took off and we landed within like 30 minutes of game time. And I threw cash in my wife's face as hard as I could. That's how I say I love you. I threw cash. And I
they dig that.
Well, I was like, get to Sean's house. My best friend lives in Old Town. I was like, get to Sean's house because my mom was going to meet them there, and my dad was, you know, on the corner out front of the stadium. And I jumped in a separate cab, and I paid the guy. I threw the guy like an extra $40, and I was like, get me there. Lightning fast. So he was, this is the best part about Chicago, that you can do that. Here, they'd be like, dude, I'm going to get you there as fast as I can. In Chicago, I threw money up there, and he was driving illegally on the side of the freeway, you know, in the...
The shoulder.
It was the best! It was the best! They're running over old car parts and stuff. He was flying. He was going like 100. It was make it or die. And I got out of Graceland Cemetery and sprinted down the street. And my dad was on the corner as they were singing the national anthem. And
wow.
I saw my dad, and we were like, jumping up and down, like freaking out. And we were about to run inside. I'm like, we got to take a picture before we go. And so we had this guy take a photo right before we went in. So I went, we made it like right on time.
That's insane.
It was honestly one of the best.
I know, I did get goosebumps. Like, you know, like you see your dad, you're like, ah.
It really was
slow motion.
Out of a movie where I was like, dude, he's like, idiot.
You're throwing cash. I love you, cab driver.
It was. I did. I owe that cab driver my life. He got me the World Series.
Amazing.
Andrew Santino, he plays Bill Hobbs on Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here with Jim Carrey as executive producer. The show's about the struggles of making it big in the 1970s LA comedy scene. You also have your Showtime special.
Yeah.
Came out on June 2nd.
Yeah, I had an hour-long special on Showtime. When I got the show, we were trying to get an hour special on TV, and Showtime was like, let's do both at the same time and put them out similarly. So the show came out on June 4th, and my special came out that same weekend, June 2nd. It was amazing. I had to shoot it back home in Chicago at the Vic Theater, which is weird because I used to go see bands there when I was in high school. Like, I remember going to the Vic and going to a bunch of other music venues, but it was crazy to, like, play a venue that I used to go be a fan at, so...
And knowing that's going to be the Showtime special, they're going to shoot it that night.
It was crazy, yeah.
And you were stuck in L.A., and you couldn't get back in time.
Yes.
Same story.
Oh, my God. Same exact story.
I ran in, threw money...
And then, but I missed the show. They were like, we already taped. Sorry. We found some other guy.
Sorry. Did it.
No, yeah, that was incredible. Shooting at the Vic was amazing, and I called it home field advantage because I felt super blessed to be back home with my family and friends, and my grandmother introduces me. She does the intro. It was phenomenal. Yeah, she walks me out on stage, my cute little grandmother. She's like a little tiny leprechaun. Brings me out.
Italian lady?
No, she's Irish.
Oh, she's Irish.
Yeah, she's the half.
Okay.
That's always the funny, when people see me like, Santino, you don't look Italian. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, when two people from two different backgrounds have sex, here's what happens. Actually, I say it on the show. They use one of my real jokes on the show. I say, when a little Irish girl is trying to get back at her father, she sleeps with the biggest Mick in town, and, you know, then this happens. She's like, how do I make my father mad? Let's go find some nasty Italian dude. Some hairy beast. So, yeah.
We'd like to apologize to Italians.
I don't!
Thank you, Andrew, for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
To Showtime and Showtime On Demand to see I'm Dying Up Here and Home Field Advantage.
Yes, please watch both. I appreciate it.
All right, take a quick look at traffic. What's going on, Lisa?
Traffic report is brought to you by...
It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on the Rock of Southern California.
95.5 KLOS.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. Thank you for joining us. We have Ed on the phone calling in. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up? I've been listening to you guys for a while. I have a weird thing happening to me. Last night, my wife and I and a friend were having shots of pure vodka, right? You know, and I took 7, and my friend took about 5, and she was plastered. She passed out a couple of times, but I didn't feel a single thing. I was standing up. I was not acting buzzed or anything at all, and I was pretty worried that I was gonna get it later. I drove it home, get back home, slept about 2 hours. I'm still fine. I don't feel anything. So I was wondering, has it ever happened to you guys, or have you ever heard of anyone that has taken that many shots of pure vodka and not feel a thing?
I'm sorry you didn't learn anything from the alcohol awareness show we did. When you think you're fine, you're not fine. Right. You shouldn't have driven.
Did everyone, did you call the people you partied with last night and say, was I fine?
Yeah. My wife was there. She only took 4, and I asked her, what is wrong with me? Because I do not feel a single thing. And she goes, are you sure you took the vodka straight? And I said, yes, I was not cheating. I drank them all.
Yeah, but you can't ask fellow other people who are drinking. You all get on the drinking vibe.
Yeah.
And everyone seems fine.
No, I was drunk, and I still knew you were S-faced on the drinking show.
I know.
Come on.
I've been the designated driver a couple times back in my dart league guys, the guys who couldn't drink at all. And everyone else, they wouldn't know they're wasted.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know because everyone's on the same level as you.
Have you been drunk before, Ed? I mean, in your life, in your past?
Yeah, of course. Okay. After 2 shots, I'm already feeling buzzed. I'm sitting down. But I was standing up. I was standing straight. I was not speaking with any slurness at all.
I bet since you normally get drunk off 2 shots, they were pouring you water. And because they know that you're a lightweight, and so they're pouring you water and not vodka.
No, I drink at home. I don't drink out to drive. I don't do that stuff. I drink at home, and after 2, I'm just sitting down on my couch. But is the weirdest thing. So
you did taste the booze. You did. It was actual vodka. It wasn't.
Yes. Hmm. Yes, we had the bottle. It was a 1.5 liter of Smirnoff. Still,
maybe you're officially an alcoholic now, where you basically just have to drink to maintain.
That makes no sense.
Congratulations, Ed.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't really drink. I drank probably 2 times in the last 3 months. And
2 times in the last 3 months. Time. Well, Frosty's got a weird thing where it's like he can't get high. I mean, I've tried to get Frosty stoned to the bone.
He's tried.
He cannot get high.
Even that new stuff.
I inhale, I cough it out, but it doesn't affect me. But 7 shots of booze in your system, dude had no business driving.
Right.
Oh, hell no.
Unless he's from a different planet. He clearly had a blood alcohol level over the limit, so even if you don't feel like it, you are wasted.
Right.
Yeah, we've already had a shot of Malort today because of our guest, Andrew Santino. He hails from Chicago, and he's in that new show, I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, plays Bill Hobbs. And he took it like a champ. He's been drinking the Malort. That's the liquor, if you're not familiar with what we do here, we have the Malort Challenge, where this liquor was introduced to us by one of our old producers from Chicago, and it's horrible. It tastes like a tire vomited.
Yeah.
And then rolled in dog poop.
You ever had bad medicine that they make taste bad so you won't want to get
addicted
to it?
I'd rather have the worst medicine I've ever had than Malort.
True.
Yeah, the worst cough syrup that your mom makes you take, and you're like, no.
This is indescribably awful. It's like puke just thinking of it all. Yeah, he drank it right then?
Yeah, when Ipecac has to vomit, it drinks Malort.
New slogan!
So, in honor of Andrew stopping by, and we've already had a shot of Malort, want to do the Malort Challenge for fun and prizes?
Oh,
yay!
No.
We haven't done it for a long time. No. Malort Challenge! Here we go. All right, it's much like Family Feud. I have the top 10 answers on the board, okay? 1-800-955-5567. You call up, and I'll pair you with somebody on the show. And if you get the answer correct, you win a prize. If you miss the answer, you don't guess correctly, then the person on the show you're associated with has to do a shot of this horrible, horrible, horrible liquor.
And very sadly, Frank has a point of pouring shots that are really big.
Yeah, we don't.
Well, it's these weird shot glasses. Well, there's an illusion.
They're like double shot glasses.
It'll cover the bottom.
Yeah.
Just cover the bottom.
You're good at that.
Last how many times you said that to me? Just cover the bottom.
I don't remember nothing. Thank God.
Oh, you remember it all. I turned her.
Gay.
I did. I turned her gay. She couldn't have another man after me. She's like, every other man will be a disappointment. I'm going to switch to ladies.
So really, we both turned women gay. because I turned my high school girlfriend gay because I was so bad. Mm-hmm. She went to the other side.
She turned you gay. She's so bad.
Stop it. Oh, just poor.
Just poor. All right, here is the category here, the topic. It's the most fun states in America.
Fun is sort of a general word. All
right. Some more information.
I'll give you the criteria. You have a breakdown. Says, they ranked all 50 states from the most fun to the least fun. And we're only looking for the most fun. Okay. The factors include number of attractions, weather, amusement parks, beaches, beer and wine prices, movie prices, concerts, theaters, and casinos.
So, if beaches is in there, the landlocked states, which is most of them, sorry, Wyoming.
A lot of places have lake beaches.
Little lake beaches, okay. Right. Like Indiana's got Brookville Lake. What's more fun than that?
Well, they're on the Great Lake. Okay.
But it's not.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. The Malort Challenge, the most fun states in America. This first round is just internally, and since Heidi hates this drink the most, we'll go to Heidi first, because all 10 answers are still on the board.
I mean, Disneyland.
Oh, you're going.
Beaches.
Okay.
I mean, it's expensive, but please, sweet baby Jesus, California.
You would think we have to be number one, probably. We should be, right? Frosty. With all the things to do here.
Frosty.
People come here on vacation.
California.
It's got to be number one.
No, not in the top 10 of most fun states.
Wait a minute. What?
Oh, sorry, Heidi.
No.
I mean, great guess. I thought so, too. There you go.
She's speaking in tongues. How could it not be in the top 10? You sure your list isn't upside down?
I'm sure. Casinos, Disneyland,
well, if Utah's number one or something, this list is crap.
I'm sure it's 11.
Eh. Sorry,
just
Heidi.
Didn't make it in. Lisa's like cheering in there. She's like, woohoo! That means they're all still 10 on the board.
That's right.
Wouldn't we all have guessed California, though, if Heidi hadn't?
Right.
That's the state.
Let me pour one for the next. You ready?
No!
Down it!
Aw. Hate it here.
Malort.
God, my nose is going to eat.
Oh, the salivation has begun. For some reason, it kicks your salivary glands into high gear. And just blah, 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 blah. All right, Lisa, as Heidi tries to recoup from her shot of Malort, all 10 answers still on the board looking for the most fun states in America.
I'm going to go with Florida.
Going to Florida. No. Sorry.
Oh, man.
This list is garbage.
Frank gets these lists from some weird-ass place. They're never normal lists.
English
they
is a second
no
language.
Sense.
There's a translation problem.
Take this.
Because if California and Florida's not in the top 10...
That's where people go.
Right.
I think you guys concentrated on the criteria of amusement parks and beaches too much.
Weather.
I mean, there's a lot of other things
weather.
Like movie prices.
What else is there to do?
Beer and wine prices. I mean, out here, you drink beer and wine, you go to a bar or club or something. Mm. Out in Indiana, you can go, and it's $2.
I know.
And that's not even happy hour. Yeah. So I'm saying that makes it more fun.
The beaches and amusement parks.
Yeah, people are always going to Indiana to vacation. Let's spend our
there was 22 different criteria for fun.
I wrote them all down.
You're only concentrating on two.
That's why I have one in the top 10, because I'm concentrating on several. Thank you.
All right, since Sammy's not here, then I guess Frosty is next.
Based on the criteria, somewhere in the top 10, you'll find the amazing rectangular state known as Colorado.
Yes, yay! Colorado was actually number 3.
There you go. Ha-ha.
Not an amusement park inside, I bet.
There are.
They have Estes, what's that little park downtown Denver?
Yeah.
What about you with the roller coaster and everything? Estes Park?
No, that's the ski area.
That's the ski area.
Elitch Gardens.
Elitch Gardens. Yes, they have that and an aquarium now.
They do.
So fun.
All right. Let's see. Eric, I guess you're up next. Looking for the top 9 answers still on the board. Most fun states in America.
First of all, Lisa has not taken her shot. And
Lisa!
She thought she got away with it.
I did the shot. It's on video.
Mm. Oh, she did it.
Eric.
We didn't get to hear the audio.
It was silent torture.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I am going to go with Hawaii.
Ooh.
Going with Hawaii. Yes.
Yay.
Number 10.
Of course, I always forget that's a state.
And really, as far as beaches, there's beaches all around every piece of Hawaii.
Pretty much.
So it gets lots of beach
it's all
points.
Beach. All right, so now it's up to me. I have all the answers, though, but it's time to take some calls and start pairing you with people. So let's see. The first one through was Euler.
Euler.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Euler, it's me and you. So if you guess correctly, you win a prize. If you miss, I have to drink a shot of Malort. So looking for the most fun states in America. Top eight answers still on the board.
All right, how about New York?
New York, New York, yes, New York's in there.
If they made it, we should make it.
It's number five on the list, so you won a prize. I'm going to give you tickets to see Steel Pulse with the Wailers at the Pacific Amphitheater Saturday, July 8th.
Cool, thanks.
You're going to love that, Euler. Stay at home.
I wouldn't describe New York as fun. Not if you're from here.
I mean, it's expensive.
It is expensive.
All right.
Beaches suck. Weather sucks.
If it'd be
Derek. People, that's fine.
Derek, you are paired up with Heidi Hamilton, Derek.
Baby.
Awesome.
All right, Derek, top seven answers still on the board. Looking for the most fun states in America.
Let's go with Texas.
Texas! No.
You do know that you were playing for a really big prize, right? You didn't even try. You were like, let me think about
Texas
it.
Texas got beaches. Padre Island. I mean, they got
Texans like their state.
I was going to say Michigan, but I knew that wasn't
going to
be on there.
No, actually, I'm kidding.
Texans like Texas for some weird reason, so they probably
All right, here's Heidi's second shot.
Heidi.
Third shot of Malort since our guest Andrew Santino came in.
Watch television tonight, kids. I'll be
hammered. Oh, you're fine.
Don't everybody stare at me.
Just drink it.
We'll be able to spot a slight slur on Dish Nation, I can tell.
Tonight, 6:30 on Fox. Watch Heidi pass out live on the air.
And she's not even done with the game yet. Might be four we're done.
No, it's serious. My tops. It's my contract. Well.
It's her contract. Oh, my God. That was a violent retch.
Oh, it came out of cave.
Is it going all the way out? Is it coming all the way up? What do you eat for breakfast? Or will we find out in a second? All right.
Well, she only had 2.5 because half came out.
Top seven answers still on the board. And who's going to be paired up with Lisa? It's David. Hello, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, David.
Turn your radio down, David.
Is it down? Okay, I got you.
Yep. No, you don't. If you weren't here, where would you be?
Look at me. Do I look
happy? She's like falling out of a chair, holding a wastebasket to her mouth.
It's not my best day.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Cradling a wastebasket in her lap. Yeah. You made the big time, baby.
Journalism degree.
Just said yesterday she was in her vacation home, and today she's here.
I was going to be the next James.
Oh, I'd hate it here, too.
Back in Hollywood, like most stars, you're ready to vomit into something.
All right, David. Looking for top seven answers on the board. You're paired up with Lisa for the most fun states in America.
Louisiana.
Ooh, ew.
Louisiana.
Good
guess. Yes, yeah. Louisiana.
Oh, all because of New Orleans, I guess?
Yes, Louisiana. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
So you.
Thank
Wait,
you,
they're miserable there. I live there and work there. It's a miserable place. Miserable.
You're also going to see Steel Pulse in the Wailers Pacific Amphitheater Saturday, July 8th. There you go.
Awesome. Thank you.
Stay on
I
home.
Think New Orleans skewed the results.
Well, of course. It's not skewed.
Well,
that
one
is the result.
City. The rest of the state is pretty miserable. It's horrible.
A lot of beaches.
I mean, Natchitoches is awesome.
And cheap beer, all right. So
and hurricanes.
I think he's on hold. Let's go to Tracy. Hello, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
All right, six answers left on the board. You're paired with Frosty.
How about Nevada?
Nevada.
He's got to be, yes.
Number one answer.
Yay! Casinos, brothels.
All right.
Beaches.
You are going to see Steel Pulse and Common Kings at the Pacific Amphitheater on Sunday, July 9th, okay?
Cool.
There you go, Stan.
And drinks are cheap there. They had to help Nevada.
Probably. Yay. Let's go to George. George, it's you and Eric.
Hey, Frank. Let's do this, Eric.
Come on, George.
We got five answers, top five answers left on the board. Most fun states in America.
I'm going to go with New Jersey.
Ooh, good.
New Jersey.
Sorry.
Half the casinos closed down there.
Are they?
The boardwalk got ripped up by the hurricane.
No, maybe
what's
Atlantic City.
Is this Eric's first shot?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's about time.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Come on, them pussy shots.
Ugh, this is big.
Heidi's done 2.5, man.
Three.
Oh, God.
No, you puked up half. No. Okay, there we go. Been a while, huh? Forgot what it tastes like?
Doesn't it get better? No. Yep.
It never gets better.
No. I'm going to pass out. All right.
He's disappeared.
All right, here's John. Floor. John, you're playing with me.
All right.
Five answers on the board, John. Give it to me. Most fun states in America.
The Viking can say Oregon.
Oregon. Yes.
Really?
Woo-hoo. That was number seven. So you, my friend, are going to see Steel Pulse and Comic Kings on Sunday, July 9th, Pacific Amphitheater.
Cool, cool.
Thank you. Stay at home. That's the game. All right, so here are all the answers. Nevada was number one. South Dakota, number two. Number three was Colorado. Number four was North Dakota. Mm. Then New York, Wyoming, Oregon, Louisiana, Montana, and Hawaii. That's the most fun states in America.
What the hell is fun in the Dakotas? You ever been to the Badlands? Fun.
I think it's cheap drinks.
Oh, okay. That's the only way they have.
Strip bars. You all right, Eric?
No.
I lost consciousness for a minute.
Yeah, I know.
I went cross-eyed and I couldn't see.
Oh, yeah.
It got bad for a minute there.
It's poison. It's poison. We're being poisoned.
Think it's more fun getting drunk in the summer or winter?
I'm not playing another game.
Winter. Oh, is this for a shot?
Winter's the right answer. Frosty's not the drink. Everyone else asked you. So you should have played, Heidi. You could have shouted something out, but you didn't. Yeah. One time you don't shout something out. No, getting drunk, 86% say it's better in the summer.
Well, it's easier, I guess, because when it's hot, you know, you can have a couple drinks and you're like, wow, I'm like tired.
I remember drinking in the winter. I mean, back in Indiana, when there was go to someone's heated garage or something, and that's all you had to do.
That's
you couldn't
thing.
Go outside, so you had to stay inside and drink.
And that's why it was fun, because there was no other option. That's why it's stagnant with winter. But.
Right.
But no, getting drunk in the summer, and the summer is upon us. So it was a good time this weekend. Awfully hot. I was going to try to drink on Sunday, but it was so hot, I was like, okay, I got to drink.
Yeah. Hangovers are worse than the heat, though. Right? You get a bad hangover the next day, and it's hot. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And when
that's what I said. My AC, my electricity went out yesterday at 1 in the afternoon on a Sunday. And you're like, okay.
Was it out? Or did you have a rolling blackout, maybe?
Well, I went on LADWP, and there was an issue in my neighborhood, I guess, that affected like over 400 people. There was like 5 blocks that were completely out.
Well, thanks for conserving involuntarily, like, sort of, so the rest of us could have our AC.
I guess I shouldn't have done laundry yesterday at noon. You're not supposed to do laundry in the middle of the day. I was like, it's Sunday, I'm doing
laundry. I forgot to. I did the same thing. Oops. Sorry.
Yeah.
Probably knocked your block out.
Yeah, I was doing laundry, too.
Oops.
Nipsey.
I forgot.
What am I going to do? Hang clothes on the line?
What do you mean?
Line.
I wasn't doing laundry. My woman was.
Oh, okay.
As
it should be.
Yeah, see, I've got 2 women. Damn it. I'm still doing laundry. Damn it.
Are you drunk?
Maybe.
Because that was the ramblings of a drunk woman.
I know.
No, I've had no food.
You've had no food?
No. I've
Why
had no food.
You, I heard breakfast is the most important meal. Why are you skipping it?
Well, I guess I drank it. Mort's probably got something in there that's good for you, no? Nothing?
We whip you up some eggs.
She's wasted. Look at her.
I'm not eating anything you're whipping
I'm sure something in the fridge I can whip you up.
No.
You chose not to eat breakfast this morning?
No, I usually eat a little bit later.
She didn't count on drinking.
It's called lunch, but why not breakfast?
When we have a little break here in a minute, I'll
But you better eat something. You got a couple hard-boiled eggs and some grapes I see over here.
That doesn't sound good to me at all
now. Eat a hard-boiled egg right now.
No, you need greasy
and chase
stuff
it with Malort.
She's had booze. She needs greasy breakfast.
Come on, Cool Hand Luke over here. Eat those 2 eggs and a shot of Malort in 5 minutes.
Now I need somebody to go get me a
breakfast. You need like a greasy omelet
Habit Burger,
with grease
are you listening?
On it.
I need like a nice, I need a burger and some fries. Come on.
You're there, are you?
Yeah.
She's already there.
Mm.
Maybe it's a good idea that she did miss the drinking show. She's lightweight now. What happened to you? Is your liver shot?
My liver shot.
You in line for a transplant or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm like way down on the list because I'm not super famous.
And don't take this the wrong way, but you're getting up there in years.
Right.
And
so
as you get older, it's harder to, you know.
Still doing a bottle of wine every night?
Yep.
I heard wine has a lot of insect parts in it and rat hairs because, like, the vines and stuff and the wine, it's like all the bugs that are on it. You can't really take all the bugs off the grapes.
That's why you should strain it before you drink it.
Keep talking.
So, yeah, it's just nothing but just, yeah.
Keep
bug parts and rat hairs.
Strain your wine.
Good though. Lisa May, what's going on in traffic right now?
Traffic report is brought to you by I'm Lisa May on 95.5 KLOS.
Thank you, Lisa, for those words. The Habit Burger is going to be where the FHF Mike Thompson RV tomorrow down there in Irvine. I was down there for lunch the other day, and so they're going to be down there doing the same thing. First 25 at 10:30 gets a $25 gift card to Haverburger Grill. Then the next 95 get a free coupon for a Charburger. So head down to Irvine. I think Heidi's going to be down there tomorrow hanging out.
getting charged.
I was there last time. I'm figuring Heidi's going to drive down after the show tomorrow.
We'll see.
And do that.
Yeah.
Have lunch with all the kind people who came out to see me. Right. I mean, it's only fair, right? Go ahead and just say you will now.
By the way, Charburger, here's what I do know. I'm drunk. I can't commit to anything. The Charburger's voted best tasting burger in America.
It is. It's the best tasting burger.
The whole United States.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen Habit Burger out. Try it. Get it for lunch. 75 locations in LA and OC.
Really? You have lost it.
Yeah.
What, are you that much of a lightweight now or what?
Frank, I had 3 shots of whatever the hell, that poison.
In 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes. What, I mean, am I?
It shouldn't be in your system. Yeah, it still should be walling around your stomach a little bit, a little tummy churning.
I'm not somebody who can just drink a bottle, snort chocolate cocaine. That's not my metabolic makeup.
But had you been here for the alcohol awareness show with CHP, you'd barely have registered on. This is like nothing.
Yeah, this is nothing.
This is like 6:15 in the morning. Three drinks.
I can't do
nothing.
It anymore. I can't hang, apparently.
Lisa Mays joined us. What's going on in the world, Lisa?
News of the day is brought to you by Raging Waters. We have some breaking news. The Supreme Court has issued a ruling today on President Trump's travel ban. The ruling says parts of the travel ban will be allowed to go into effect until they have oral arguments, which I believe will be in October. So basically, the United States will be allowed to ban any foreign nationals from the 6 countries on the list if they don't have ties or relationships in the U.S. So someone who has family here cannot be banned. Students accepted at the universities in the U.S. cannot be banned. People hired by American companies also cannot be part of the ban. The Lakers want superstar Paul George, and Paul George has made it clear through his agent that he wants to sign with the Lakers, but it would be next summer. That is because that's when he would be a free agent. So the question now is whether the Lakers can trade for him now or just wait until July of next year. But if they do wait until he's a free agent, he could get traded in the meantime to the Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics, or the Houston Rockets. And there's discussion that he could change his mind after being in a winning environment for a season. So a lot of pressure on Magic Johnson and the rest of the front office to make that trade now if they can do it. A red flag warning has been issued by the National Weather Service. This is for Santa Clarita, Antelope Valley, and San Gabriel Martins. It's from 9 today until 9 tonight. That means a high risk of wildfires. Now, this heat wave is supposed to break tomorrow, but a fire broke out yesterday near the 14 in Placerita Canyon. There were some evacuations. 750 acres burned. People were let back into their homes around 10 last night, and they say the fire now is about 50% contained. And Brad Pitt may be dating. He and Elle McPherson were spotted at an L.A. nightclub. A source says that Elle was touching Brad's arm a lot, flicking her hair over her shoulder, lots of flirting. He was laughing at everything she said, leaning in very close. So, sounds kind of like a date. They're both 53 years old, and they met back in 1999 when Elle played Joey's new roommate on Friends. At the time, Brad was married to Jennifer Aniston. I guess he showed up on the set or something. News of the day brought to you by Raging Waters. Live for summer at Raging Waters, Los Angeles, California's largest water park, with more thrills like the first hydromagnetic coaster on the West Coast. Save up to $13 on select days at RagingWaters.com. That's news of the day.
According to a new survey, the percentage of American teenagers who have had sex has dropped sharply. They're saying the biggest reason for the drop, uglier teens.
No kidding.
How do you measure that?
They're not getting laid.
Yeah. You know you're ugly when.
Christian Hand's going to join us next. He takes rock songs and splits it into its elements, track by track, instrument by instrument, vocal by vocal. And you'll never listen to music the same way again. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. Be sure to follow us on social media. Everything is FHF Show, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And become a VIP, FHFShow.com. We've upgraded the cameras in here, the webcast every single day, and it's an entirely different experience. It's radio worth watching, so check it out at FHFShow.com. Christian Hand is next. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Thank you for joining us a little bit after 9 o'clock on a Monday. What we normally do on Mondays at this time. Well, Christian Hand joins us in the studio, and he breaks down the rock songs for us. So what's going on, Christian?
Hey, everybody.
Good to see you. Looks like you're all refreshed from the weekend.
I am. What a great couple of weeks it's been. Banner. Let's tackle this beast, shall we? We're doing this song this morning. I don't know about you, but I was never a Doors fan. It was always one of those bands that I was like, nah, a little too bluesy for me.
Yeah.
But once I got into this track, which is ridiculous, I suddenly had a much greater appreciation for them. It is, of course, The Doors' Touch Me from the 1968 Soft Parade record. It took 9 months to record, which back in the day was like an epic amount of time.
It feels so simple to me, but I'm not in the music biz, so I'm not hearing what...
Prepare my beautiful princess to be edumacated about how sick this track is. All right, so John Densmore on drums.
Who are you talking to?
Zinger. Frank. Who wouldn't I be talking to?
Of course, he's a little...
So here's... John Densmore smashing the drums away, and I thought that this was like a 1970s recording when I went into the tracks, because the drum sound is like this big, huge, beastie, and he's killing it. Things about it is you know exactly where you are on the right song from the track, and you're like, oh, this is the you made bit.
Not a conventional beat by any stretch.
No.
By the way, I know sometimes the Beatles only recorded 4 tracks. How many tracks are in this song?
This is more than 4. This is when I think they had 8 tracks at this point, but they did some bussing down, as we call it in the business. But this is a well-mic'd drum set, especially for the 60s.
Not a lot of stereo separation there with the drums.
It's pretty much right down the middle, as they say in the business.
Back in the day, it's the way they sounded.
So when we come out of the break, he goes into this mania. It's madness. John Densmore killing it. I mean, it's just like it's what Animal would have done if he was on amphetamines. So the bass, they actually have a bass on this. Usually the Doors' conceit was that the bass was played on the lower octaves of a keyboard, like an organ. And on this one, it's actually played by a guy named Harvey Brooks, who went on to play with Dylan, Richie Havens, and Miles Davis. So this guy's no slouch either. And it's a bass line on a Doors song, which is... And you can hear the organ in the back, because everyone's playing in the same room at this time. Funky.
Wouldn't you have that much bleed through from the other instruments? That doesn't muddy the track?
It's so crazy, because we worry about it so much in this day and age, but... When you put it back in the mix, like, you do this. You got no clue. I love this bit. Right? More than a passing reference to James Jamerson, of course. Drop down the octave. A lot can be learned from this one. It's a good old Harvey Brooks. This little counter melody. So pretty. I'll guarantee 50 cover bands throughout the Southland just went, yeah, we've been playing that wrong the whole time. Listen to self. All right, so the clavichord, of course, played by Ray Manzarek, the guy who brings this texture in, which is... Drugs are good, obviously.
Yeah. Said the wrong note.
Never. This man's Eric. He meant it. That's the point of the bit, man. I've been doing this for like 7 months at this point, and every time.
Every time. Shocked. It's like it's brand new.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like the Partridge Family shows up.
I mean, who knew that it was so madrigalish?
Seriously.
I feel like we should be wearing hoops dresses and talking about the heads of the palace.
The only band that ever had this instrument.
This instrumentation?
No one ever inspired any other band to go, let's have one of those as well.
Yeah, you know what? Let's get a Celeste going. We're a rock band. I mean, they may not be, the other people have used this texture, but this was kind of like a foundational texture of the Doors, right. You know? And it's definitely... It's something that Manzarek could definitely say that he brought to the vibe, but this is his organ, as they say in the business, and then... And then anytime you hear it in a song after that, you're like, oh, they're ripping off the Doors, because it's hard to do that, to make an instrument your thang. But when you put the bass and drums... Right? Not quite as dangerous sounding as it is.
No.
So that's the reason you either love or hate the Doors, I think, is because of this sound right here.
Exactly.
If you like it, then it's you're different like, and cool.
Yeah, but if not, you're like
what the hell is that?
Some keyboards.
Grandma's rocking out.
You're right.
There's no piano on the keyboards. We got clavichord and farfisa organ.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the middle break is this ridiculousness. If the kids were on acid. let's remember. All right, so there's Manzarek on the clavs and the farfisa organ, and then, of course, Krieger on the guitar, bringing the little jazzy, so Venice Beach. He just bangs away on a couple chords.
That's only in the right ear, isn't it?
Yep, mm-hmm. Because in the left, well spotted... Frostles is this. So the whole entire guitar track is this. It's like a really badly delayed and verb, like crazily off. So you put him with the keys you get.
Mozart in a rock band.
Yeah. No, it's really beautifully put together. It's like one of these constructions where you're like, man, that's way more complicated than I thought. Beautiful open chords. So I don't want to rob, you know, Krieger of too much time. Rob Krieger. But we don't have enough time to go into that in the hour long show. We did the whole thing. This is the track that kills this song, right? So this is the Curtis Amy plays the sax on this, and the entire orchestration is by this guy named Paul Harris, and this is so good. This is another one where, you know, the orchestration guy's like, can we just turn it up a little bit in the mix, maybe?
Yeah,
I mean, could everybody hear that? Because this is like, you have no clue. And then this is happening. Manzarek.
It's like Morse code.
Yep.
And then I Dream a Genie comes out.
We're taking on water, going down by the stern.
And then... So good. And then when you put it back in, now you realize it's been there the whole time. And you're like...
What was that promise that you made?
But you don't hear
it. You barely hear it.
No. And then you get this.
Where's the strings? You don't hear it.
Nope. Somebody needs to remix this so that everyone can get Paul Harris's work.
Pretty.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
And it's real strings and real horns.
Oh,
not
synthesizers. Yeah, this is 68.
Well, I think the orchestra showed up for nothing because you can't hear them in the mix.
They're all, yeah, really.
It's pretty.
LA Philharmonic covers the Doors.
Right.
But then doesn't have any strings or organ in it, whatever.
You're like, wait,
was it supposed to have it? All right, so then, of course, the sax solo, which is this. Curtis Amy.
It was a dark Friday night.
This guy was a monster. Played on Carole King's Tapestry and a bunch of other records.
Mm. It's a tenor sax, right?
Probably. Get up there. And then this.
Give me that. So it's the orchestra again.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. This is why it's one of my favorite sessions, because there's so many secrets. So, of course, no Doors song is complete without the man that waved his wang at more audiences than anyone else you could imagine waving their wang at a lot of audiences. This vocal is like, this. They should have gone on and played in Vegas, because...
Come on, now touch me, baby. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I.
Well, I love this. Love is so...
I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I. Come on now, touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I.
I mean, nobody else sounded like
this
guy.
It sounds like without the music, a lounge act. Like, he's got a beautiful voice, but it's like...
He's the lounge lizard king.
He's a crooner.
I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain.
This could have been a ballad.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I.
It's Heroin Connick Jr.
Yeah. You've been waiting all vocal for that, haven't you?
I have, really.
And then, of course, it ends with...
Stronger Than Dirt.
So the song actually ends with them saying Stronger Than Dirt, which
Christian.
Was the... No, it does, I swear. Like, I'll put it in, she said, smiling, and you'll hear it in the song. Ready? It goes like this, right at the end. It goes...
Stronger Than Dirt.
And the reason they said Stronger Than Dirt is that was the, it was like Aerial Soap or something like that. And the guys from the band had sold a Doors song to an ad campaign without Jim Morrison's permission. So he was mad at him. So he put Stronger Than Dirt, which was like running on the TV at the time. So then the soap company sued the Doors, and then the Doors won and got to keep Stronger Than Dirt, but clearly are probably playing some royalties still to this day for a soap commercial.
Wow, I remember that tagline with Ajax.
Yeah, Ajax, yeah, Stronger Than Dirt. Wow. So this is a really beautiful way to hear this song before we get out of here.
I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I. I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain.
Wow.
I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I.
Imagine if they'd done Vegas. Wouldn't it have been awesome? Like a fat Jim Morrison just killing it. Like 16 weeks at Caesar's Palace. Amazing. Anyway, all right, so that's The Doors with Touch Me from 1968 Soft Parade. If you haven't checked that record out, please do. It is epic, and there's so much good stuff going on, and hopefully this has revealed a little more of why we should be respectful of the Venice Glads and their thing.
Thank you, Christian, stopping in. Christian Hand, he's here every single Monday at 9 o'clock to take a rock song and break it apart for us. You'll never listen to rock the same way again. Now it's time for us to apologize. But before we do that, I want to remind you about tomorrow for lunch. Head down to the Habit Burger in Irvine. The FHF, Mike Thompson RV, is going to be down there between 10:30 and 12:30. First 25 are going to get a $25 gift card to the Happy Burger Grill. The next 95 get a free charburger with cheese, and that's going to be tomorrow at the Habit Burger in Irvine. And be sure and take a picture of yourself with the RV, hashtag FHF show, to win fun and prizes that way as well. So right now, let's apologize and get the hell out of here.
We're sorry to Ice Cream Men, Ugly Dogs, Salad Frogs, and Liza Minnelli.
Black Babies, Maury Povich, Reba McEntire, and Lesbians with Generators.
Guys with Neck Tattoos, Owen Mills, The City of Naples, and Don Cornelius.
The Band Berlin, Agoraphobics, Boy Bands, and Creepy-Looking Stalking Realtors. Guys.
The Cubs, Rob Schneider. The Comedy Store, and Andrew Santino.
Gossipers, Uber drivers, angry dads, and hags of any kind.
Summer drinkers, hot sauce lovers, BJ's Restaurant, and The Doors Orchestra.
Brad Pitt, Jane Pauley, Italians, and fruit flies.
Paul George, virgins, three-way babies, and ugly teens. You really have to listen to the whole show. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Sports on Tap. Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Crazy day at the Ravine yesterday as the Dodgers fell behind early 5-0. A homer from Kike and Cody got them back into it. Then the craziness began as Rockies reliever Adam Ottavino gifted the Dodgers the lead with four wild pitches leading to five runs, something that hasn't happened since the 20s. And just to throw salt in the wound, Cody Bellinger homered again, his 24th and 6th multi-home run game, which is some kind of record, so the fans asked for a curtain call.
Yeah, that was awesome. I didn't really hear him until I got someone pushing me up the stairs, like, oh, this is happening, and yeah, it was pretty special.
In Boston, the Halos took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox as they get ready to face the red-hot Dodgers, who've won 10 in a row. I'm Pete Fox. That's Sports on Tap on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.